Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the pound for pound best radio show around the world. Leave it in the ring. He took it from crack to rap. Now he put out two anthems a year, and I just want to rock for a century.
What's cracking, acting, brothers? Happy New Year. Hope everybody's doing good. I know I'm doing cool. Anyways, I got my host, 916 Chris out of Sacramento, and I got my other host, Strikeheart. What's up, brothers?
What's good, man?
Well.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, I can hear you.
I can hear you just fine.
Can you hear me? Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the boxing world. And for everybody that's been emailing, leave it in the ring and hitting us up and say, yo, what's up, man? Where you guys at? We did take a short break, you know, the holidays and everything else. So I have to take a vacation here, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, unfortunately, we're only human, so... we all took a quick vacation, and now we're back so that we can get this rolling once again. We got Joe Frazier that's going to be calling in a little later on the show, about 5:30. Then immediately after him, we're going to have No Needle Dornier call in and talk about his upcoming fight and what is his thoughts about Big D'Artagnan calling him out and a possible rematch with him. But then I've heard that there's a possible matchup with Brian Valario, the Hawaiian Punch, Filipino descent fighter himself, maybe stepping in the ring with No Needle Dornier, and that could be explosive if that happens. But I don't know if that would be a fight that No Needle would want to gear for at this moment. There's bigger fishes to fry out there, so why not go after the money, which would be the logical choice of going after the man that he upset and defeated and knocked out, Big D'Artagnan. A lot of stuff, like I said, you know, the Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao debacle, a lot of people arguing about it, people, you know, switching up on each other, look like they're about to cut each other's throats over this whole issue if whether or not Manny Pacquiao is on steroids. I haven't aired out my opinion about it. In all honesty, there's been a lot of emails to me saying, yo, D, Ruff, what up, what do you think? What are your thoughts? Do you think he's on it? And to tell you the truth, I haven't really put a whole lot of thought into it because I really don't care. I mean, if he's on it, he's on it. If he ain't, he ain't. You know, I've spoken to Blood, Strikeheart, Chris, Dave. I haven't spoken to my man Rob Rindle out of Puerto Rico about it, but I think we're all on the same page where we're like, listen, if you're going to make rules, you got to make rules for everyone, not just for one particular person. You know, kind of putting a bullseye on the forehead of Manny Pacquiao, it's really not fair. I know there's a lot of things that Manny's camp and himself have done in their favor of maybe having the power in their lap at the moment because they're the superstar, but it still doesn't make you right. Strikeheart, I'm out of line and saying that still doesn't make it right whether he has the star power to make certain things happen for himself, but making a man do a random blood testing that has not been enforced by the either commissions, Nevada or California or New York, and just because a particular fight happening, now all of a sudden this testing is being called out for, fair or unfair? What do you think?
Absolutely unfair in the same regard that you just stated. If you want to change the rule, I'm all for it. I actually think they should do more extensive drug testing. But you can't single out one fight and even more specifically one fighter. Yes, we know Floyd's going to take the test too, but nobody accused Floyd of any wrongdoing. Manny Pacquiao's been accused, and then they made the demand. It just colors him as guilty, and at this point, he's innocent. And that's how I like to look at things. I don't like to make people prove they're innocent. I'd rather have somebody else have to prove he's guilty, or at least come up with some kind of evidence before we jump to another step. So if they want to change the rules, I'm on board with that. But to make it just different for one fight and then go back to the same for everybody else, I ain't on board with that, not at all. No.
I agree with you on that. And, you know, to clarify that, too, also is, you know, some people are already putting the stake through his hands on the cross already against Manny Pacquiao. You know, the thing about this, this is my thoughts about it, man. And maybe I might be wrong about it. And Chris and Blood's on the line is on the air with us right now. And Justin, maybe you can, maybe I'm wrong about what I'm thinking, and maybe you can clarify what I'm thinking and put it more, a better picture, a drawing of a picture that I have right now. But this is what I'm thinking, okay? We have all said, including myself, I have pressed the fact that Freddie Roach is such a great matchmaker. You know, he put up opponents in front of Manny Pacquiao during his movement of weights so well, he's perfect in line that he's looked so dominating. So dominating that now it's down to the point of whether Manny Pacquiao is on steroids. You know, so in a way, since his matchmaking has been so great, it's kind of backfired on him, you know. And I've seen a lot of, I've heard a lot about this, and I've read a lot about it. People have emailed me, and everybody's got great, valid points about why they think Manny may be on it or why he's not on it. But I'm leaning towards, I would have to say, the crowd of not the mad mob, the guys that already have the torch and they're wearing the white hoodies over their heads already, ready to lynch Manny Pacquiao for something that has not even been proven yet. You know, for something that, you know, was, this is just a state of a rumor of Manny. And I think that Manny has stopped some fans, you know, idle, that this is the only logic that can come up with is, hey, this guy's got to be on steroids. It's nearly impossible for this guy to move up in weight and do this. If you look at the ledger of the guys that he's fought, he was supposed to beat those guys. The only one that he fooled us on, in all honesty, was Oscar De La Hoya, because a lot of us were upset about it, saying the big guy's picking on the little guy, and we were fooled. But the rest of the guys that were on the ledger, Ricky Hatton, David Diaz, Miguel Cotto, he was supposed to beat. And he beat him in the fashion that most of us, not, you know, everyone, but and how he was supposed to do it. And now there's this whole debate whether he's having some types of substance in the system to make him Mr. Bionic. What do you think, brother?
Oh, man, let me tell you, man. First of all, I just believe that this goes back to what I was saying for a long time now. These boxers, they're spoiled nowadays. They set these stipulations, and then when it's their turn to step up on the plate, they don't want to live up to them. But see, it's like this blood test is like a double-edged sword. It's cutting both warriors, man, because you have Floyd, who's being a prima donna right now. You know, he's never asked for no blood test before, so some people are looking at him as a coward. Then you have Manny Pacquiao, who, you know, do it for legacy, man. Go ahead, take the test. Do it for legacy. Do it to establish yourself, to silence your critics. So I see some negatives on both sides with this whole thing. What happened to the good old days, man? What happened to the good old days, Ruff, when two fighters just got into the ring and there was no stipulations and they just got in the ring, no questions asked? Those days are gone. That's all I've been saying the whole time. That's all I've been saying. So nobody's really to blame. These two fighters need to just get in the ring and fight like warriors have been known to do.
I tell you what happened to the good old days. The good old days, these guys were not making the amount they're making now. These guys, back in those days, they only cared about fighting. They didn't care about their image. There was no PR work. There was no public relations going out shaking the fans' heads. They went out and shook the hands of fans but they went out there always in complete focus of the fight. The fighters nowadays now have, you know, PR companies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to keep their image intact, and lawyers that will sit there and give them figures. Rob Briller is on the line. I know he is, but he keeps hanging up every time I pass him through. Rob, you there?
Yeah. Yeah, what's up?
Let me ask you, man, what is your whole take and what is your thoughts about this Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather, which I've already heard that it's not going to happen. And that's why I didn't talk about it either, because I was like, why is everybody talking about something that's not even set in stone yet? There's too many accusations, there's too many rumors, there's too many ifs and ands, and in all honesty, I hate ifs and ands. You know, I like the good old days, like what Blood just mentioned right now, the good old days. Well, the good old days, you didn't even hear about negotiations. You didn't hear about how much a guy was going to make. You didn't hear about if they were in the backstage arguing about what size of gloves and what size of a ring. All you heard was the date, the time, and who were going to fight. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I mean, didn't Pacquiao say he would take the test like 5 minutes after the fight if that's what they wanted?
You know what, I've heard so many things that, you know, the problem is that there are so many people involved, supposedly, in this negotiation. Now, I heard that they brought in a mediator, you know, Freddie Roach got in the mix, they pulled in another guy, and, you know, the Money Mayweather's cat, all his entourage got in the mix, and as we all know, I'm pretty sure we all went to school, that rumors spread fast. It's like a cancer. It just goes like a wildfire, okay? And so how can anybody sit there and say there's any truth to anything that's being written on these forums or YouTube or boxing sites? I mean, yeah, we know that some boxing sites are they got great resources and they're legitimate, but sometimes even the most honest website can get it wrong. Even the most honest person can get some information that was relayed to them that sometimes may not be in full truth. Too much stuff to be that's just, you know, hovering around this subject of a test. Yeah, Manny, I heard Manny, you know, doesn't like needles. It's because of his religion. It made him weak, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Floyd Mayweather would say he's going to take the test. He's going to do this. He's going to pay $10 million. Man, in all honesty, honestly, I'm going to ask everybody on the panel, everybody in the chat room, everybody that's listening live, do you even really give a shit? Or do you want to just watch a fight? I just want to watch a fight.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you too, man. I don't want to hear no more of these rumors. I either want to hear the fight isn't going to happen or that it is going to happen and when. Beyond that, this whole thing needs to just quiet down. I'm tired of it.
Quiet down.
Apparently, Manny doesn't want to fight Yuri Foreman though either. He says that the weight is the size might be too much, and he's not feeling comfortable with that.
I don't blame him either about wanting to fight Yuri Foreman. I mean, nothing away from Yuri Foreman, but if I remember correctly, Blood, I think Blood and Strikeheart and Chris, and even Rob, he can back me up on this. But a lot of Manny Pacquiao fans always say, "Well, what has he done? How is he? Right?" So,
no, yeah.
What has Yuri Foreman done to deserve a shot at Manny Pacquiao?
Yeah, but Ruff, they're going to say, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say that this is Manny's chance to win an eighth world title. That's what people are saying.
I've heard
so
that, too.
They're not worried about what he done. They're worried about what Manny Pacquiao could do.
Right,
and that's
yeah.
That's win an eighth championship.
It's like David Diaz all over again. You go into a weight class and you pick on somebody with a belt that they ain't necessarily the undisputed champ in the division, which is exactly what Yuri Foreman is.
I don't think it's fair to the legends of the sport to say that he's won eight world titles, because you can't really bring that up in an argument like who's better, Duran or Pacquiao. Somebody says eight world titles, Pacquiao. I mean, that's not realistic. You can't compare that because Duran wasn't in those times, you know, or like Henry Armstrong and stuff. So, I mean, but then again, it is today's world of boxing. Today's world of boxing is different. But still, like, you can't even, like, now it's getting to the point.
That's a valid point there, Rob. That's a great point you just made right now, saying that it is today's boxing. Things have changed. We need to evolve with change. But Do we need to change everything drastically overnight? I mean, have we not for over a decade? Now, what's this, Chris? Have we not over a decade for being a boxing fan? If you've been a boxing fan over a decade, then you know what I'm talking about. Have we not complained that there is too many belts? There is no organization. Nothing is organized in our sport. There's no regulations. We've complained about judges. We've complained about certain rules. We've complained about not having, you know, replays on particular matches because of headbutts or other situations that the ref had made a false call on. I mean, yeah, you're right. This entire we need to evolve with it, but we need to evolve the right way. We need to set rules that are gonna clarify certain things that happen in this sport. And right now, a lot of these people that talk about, oh, it's gonna win, it's an eighth title, it's this and that and that. First off, you're probably gonna start watching boxing until Manny Pacquiao beat Morales. Because when he finished beat Barrera, everybody wasn't really completely sure if he had beat on the Joe Barrera, you know, somebody that was in mind, in the right mind frame to fight at that time, you know. So not people were really grasping whether Manny was the real deal. There were still questionings around him. After the fact that he beat Morales, then people, you know, like, okay, this is it. And I saw more fans cling on to this guy. And now all of a sudden, they're boxing experts. I watched boxing for a whole year. That was their first, most, I love, this is my favorite. I'll tell you, strike hard. And Chris, this is my favorite here, is, you're not even a boxing fan. Oh, yes, I am. I like Barrera and Morales. I wonder why, guy. I wonder why. You're probably better watching them because of Manny. Those guys right there are the ones that really mess it up. Or don't have an understanding. They don't want to bother to understand the sweet science. Chris, what's your thoughts about this? And we're going to get away from this. Happy New Year's to everybody, and Merry Christmas. Hopefully you have got everything in your stocking that you wanted. But I'm going to go with Chris. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. You know, in general, in regards to the whole Pacquiao-Mayweather thing, it's unfortunate for fans of both fighters and fans of the sport that, you know, potentially the biggest fight financially of all time and the best fight that could probably be made in the sport right now isn't going to happen because these guys don't want to come together. They all each have their own reasons. I do think in a way, I'm not taking sides. I really don't care one way or the other. I think it is somewhat hypocritical of Mayweather to ask a fighter to go above and beyond what's normally required considering he didn't want to do so in his previous fight with the weight with Marquez. Even though he said he was going to come down a certain weight, he didn't do it. He ended up not doing it, so I think that's a bit hypocritical, but that aside, you know, in all honesty, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me and think that, you know, say I'm not a real boxing fan, but whether the fight happens or not at this point, I really could care less, only because if it does happen, regardless of who wins, they're not going to get the credit. If Pacquiao wins, people are going to say, oh, he's on steroids, even if he doesn't test, and if Mayweather wins, people are going to say, of course he kicked Pacquiao's ass because Pacquiao was clean and he wasn't on roids this time. No one's ever going to be satisfied. There's always going to be people complaining. You know, no matter who wins the fight, it's always going to be someone making excuses. You know, I want to see the fight, but if it doesn't happen at the end of the day, then, you know, it's not meant to be for whatever reason, you know, because not everyone's going to be happy if it doesn't get made. Not everyone's going to be happy if it does get made. So it is what it is, you know. Hopefully it gets made, but if not, you know, whatever.
You know,
and I think, man, also I think it's unfair to call Floyd a chicken and everything like that because if Manny Pacquiao really felt he could beat Floyd, he'd take that test. So you could sit there and say neither one of these guys really want this fight to take place. You know, none of these guys are trying to stand up for boxing as a sport, and they're not trying to show that you know that they're what the media pumps them up to be. They're not trying to prove their legacy, man.
They're spoiled brats. Let's be honest. We got two spoiled brats that have always gotten what they want since they have made it on the top. And now you got these two spoiled brats that don't want to share a particular toy in the playroom. That's what they are, you know. I mean, you're right, Blood. it's unfair to call Floyd Mayweather a chicken because of whatever reasons, and it's unfair to call Floyd Mayweather hypocritical because the fact is Manny's been hypocritical on it with himself and of some of the things that he's done, you know. And you know, for instance, 145 for Miguel Cotto. Hey, $10 million over the weight limit. Hey, this and that. Both guys, I would have to say, if you're gonna put them on the hot seat, they're both in that same situation. That's why that's why I've been neutral and staying out of this argument about who should do this and who should get that.
I really don't think there's much of an argument, man. There really isn't much of an argument here. It's just that these guys need to stop all the talk, all the prima donna acting, and just go on ahead and fight each other and do what fighters do. You know, many people are coming in here and they're picking sides, and really it's both of their fault. You know, you could say Mayweather's a chicken, but Manny ain't trying to step up and make this fight happen real fast. If he thought he could walk, if Ricky hadn't asked him for a blood test, he would have taken that, I think, you know. I mean, obviously he knows that Mayweather's a serious challenge for him. So he wants to make sure he's at his best. I'm not saying he's here, but they just want to make sure they're at their best, though, you know.
I just wanted to step in for a second. I think part of the reason why he's refusing, well, I think actually the biggest reason why he's refusing to take the test, if not the only, is because of all the allegations that were made by the Mayweather camp prior to the demand. I don't really think that it has anything to do with any of that kind of stuff, like avoiding Mayweather, so much as they basically said he's on steroids beforehand. So no matter what he does at this point, he's colored by a lot of people as guilty. And any kind of cooperation on his part is only adding fuel to the fire, is only admitting that he has something to prove. Without evidence, I say if he has nothing against, if there's nothing by way of evidence against him, why does he have to prove anything? I think they should change the rules all around for everybody and let him take the test with dignity. But he shouldn't have to prove anything to anybody. And as far as Floyd being a chicken or not, I ain't calling him a chicken in this fight, unless he's trying to get under Pacquiao's skin, so when they get in the ring, Pacquiao doesn't really think about what he's doing and just tries to take his head off. If that's not where his head's at, I got to say in the past, I've felt like Mayweather's ducked a lot of guys. And this could be the latest guy that he's trying to not fight because he likes that zero just that much.
That's what I was going to get at. That doesn't seem a little fishy if you have a guy coming up who's always really been behind in Floyd, catching up to Floyd in pound for pound status today in boxing. He's always been right there behind him, and he slowly but surely started stacking a more legitimate legacy than Floyd could ever achieve. Now Floyd sees a guy who's standing above him, on top of the mountain. He doesn't like it. And if Floyd is going to leave this era of boxing with a record that's not really respectable, why doesn't he just damage some other guy's record?
This is what boxing has become now. We have two fighters who could possibly make the biggest fight over the past how many decades, but it's because of the fighters wanting all these stipulations, and both of them are guilty for it, both of them, that we can't get this fight to pop off. It's the fighters' fault, man. If these two guys really wanted to fight each other, they would get in there and fight each other. Both of them are guilty in some respect for this fight not happening.
Right.
They're not even willing to negotiate. There ain't no negotiating. Why do fighters need a mediator? Just go into the fight, man. That's what fighters do.
I mean, it is Pacquiao.
They're hurting the legacy of boxing. They're not trying to help boxing, none.
And he chooses no. So, yeah, in that regard, you're right. I agree with his position on not taking the test because of how it makes him look and how that will continue to push this issue. I'm sure Manny Pacquiao wants this to go away as quick as he can get it away.
Mayweather's dead wrong for asking him to take a test. Manny Pacquiao and them's camp was dead wrong for asking people to fight at certain weights. Just stay traditional with this boxing stuff, and we wouldn't be having all these problems.
I mean,
need some kind of people to regulate the sport a little better.
Would anybody have been upset if Miguel Cotto said, hell no, Pacquiao, I ain't fighting you unless it's at 147, and if you ain't coming up to 147, I ain't lacing up gloves. I wouldn't have blamed him for it. I would have been right on board with him saying 147.
I would have supported that myself because I support anyone who wants to stay within the tradition of the sport.
Right.
If you have two fighters who both agree to catch weight and they both 100% agree that it's the best thing, there was a lot of questions in that fight, man. There was a lot of ups and downs in that fight and getting that fight signed and everything. And that's what, I'm tired of seeing that in boxing. Well, just go back to the traditional way, man. If we're gonna have blood tests, do it for all the fighters. I don't think that they should do it for this fight. I think that Mayweather shouldn't have asked for the test, but maybe that if they're gonna have blood testing, then all the fighters need to be blood tested, all of them.
I agree. And you know, before we get any further, we do have Joe Frazier calling in about 5 minutes. But also, I want to make just a quick. I don't know if I want to call it a shout out or anything like that, but I do want to say rest in peace to Miguel Cotto's father, who just recently passed away. And that's a major loss to the boxing world. Our sincere prayers are with the Miguel Cotto fans on Leaving in the Ring, the WillBeBloodFights.com. I don't know what else I could say about that, man.
Most of all, it's a big loss to Miguel Cotto, more than anything else, more than boxing. It's his father. I think it's time that Miguel Cotto sits down and thinks about really if he really wants to do this for right now. Because he's still pretty young. He could take a couple of years off. He could afford to take a few years off. He don't need the money. And why rush back into it when you've had such a dramatic year, you know? I mean, take some time off.
Yeah.
Think about it. We've been saying it for a while. Take some time off, man.
Yeah.
This is
an opportunity for him to bury the hatchet with his uncle and patch things up if anything good could come out of this. Maybe
absolutely. I agree.
Family mm-hmm. can come back together a little bit.
They've been talking about getting back together for a while, but they just talked for a little while, but nothing really got finalized. But, I mean, two things can come from this. He will either retire for good, because his life seems to always, go to hell. I mean, like, it's Malinacci, around the Malinacci fight, he broke up with his wife for cheating. Then the Margarito thing, now the supposed Pacquiao thing, then his father dies. You know, I mean, it's just never ending for him, so.
Yeah, that sucks, Anyways, like I said, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we should have Joe Frazier on.
Fight fans, check out LightsOut.tv, the mobile fight channel. Text KO to 35620 to get mobile fight content right to your phone. Remember, text KO to 35620 at LightsOut.tv.
You're listening to Leave It in the Ring, live boxing podcast radio. Remember to check out our sponsors, www.havocworldwide.com, thewillbebloodfightshow.com, standandfight.com, and the number one boxing website for women, Women's Boxing Archive Networks, WBAN.com.
Whenever we stand against the flow of opinion on strongly contested issues, a man does what he must. In spite of personal consequences, in spite of obstacles, dangers, and pressures, and that is the basis of all human morality.
Now let's talk about self-expression, true expression. Open your mind without question, no doubt. Tell me what you're thinking about, but try to set aside pride and clout. Can you believe I feel the same exact way you do? You truly do believe these are the ways that fooled you. Systems exist so we never meet each other. Pretty soon from now that I've learned the word brother. And that's true if they see you walking with the crew. If you don't know, that means more than two. I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll pull over, hunt you over, kick your ass, might stick to your shoulder. I know it's unjust as if it wasn't enough. If you try to fight back, they're locking your ass up. And Chuck already told you that a spell is hell. But I'm waiting for the phone tossing for a spell. Call the guard, tell him I'm a piece of God. With no beliefs in his streets or his boulevard. I eat rage so my mental is hard. And the heat from my anger just melted the bars. They reach for the
gun, so I put him to sleep. Break the chains and put the shoes back on my feet. He's on the loose with no discernible scars or marks. Just the mind of Mandela and the heart of Rosa Parks. So I dip. Time to see the governor and mayor. Tell them life ain't fair, see if they care. Well, they do, but only if they're on the air. So they appear to have a heart and make a flare. But they haven't done shit for us, and that's a fact. Their only function is to keep the funny money where it's at. And it causes pain, stress. Ask me if we need a different way of life.
They kill anybody they want, and nobody cares, and anybody get into a position to do anything about it, get killed.
Bam. Headline, Bush builds a presidency, he needs the backing of the meek, what could the remedy be? The country's headed for recession, reminiscent of the Great Depression, a lie's worth the world of power, easy question. Planes hit the towers in the Pentagon, killing those the government wasn't dependent on. It's easy to control the scare, so they keep us in fear, with their favorite Middle Eastern demon named Bin Laden this year. Disguises blood, loves his patriotism, convincing the living to love operation. But when he realized we don't support their attacks, they needed something to distract, huh, anthrax. This further demonizes Afghanis, so America cheer while we kill their innocent families. And what better place to start a war, to build a pipeline to get the oil that they have wanted before. America supported the Taliban to get Russia out of Afghanistan, that's how they got the arms, man. They're in a war against the Northern Alliance, and we can't build a pipeline in hostile environments. What your history books won't show. You're a dead man for fucking with American dough. They're killing several birds with one stone while you're at home with anti-terrorism up in your dome. But my eyes are wide open and my TV is off. Great, cause I save on my electricity cost. And you could wave that piece of shit flag if you did, but they killed us because we've been killing them for years.
Whenever we stand against the flow of opinion on strongly contested issues, a man does what he must.
We're back on Leaving the Ring. I believe we have the legend, Mr. Smoking Joe Frazier. Joe, you on the line, brother?
Hey, man, what's happening, man? I hear all of it, you know. I'm going to flip them on down and come on around. Let me tell them, don't put you down.
I see you're doing the
floor
now, Joe.
Yeah,
you're rapping
it. Yeah, some of it I get. That one wasn't bad, you know what I mean? Put your house around and see you down. Come on, man, chop us around. Ah, bang. Yeah, some of it I like, some of it I don't. You know what I mean? But I guess it's all the young people situation, so therefore that makes it a little clear for them, you know what I mean?
I heard that. And I appreciate you taking the time. Happy New Year. I hope you had a great Christmas and a great New Year.
The Lord's been good to me, man. I like to say happy, merry, merry, and let's say gobble, gobble to all the fine people in the world, you know, because otherwise the Lord's been good to me. Look like I might make another 67. Ooh.
Oh, man.
66.
Hey,
66,
67. Joe, let me ask you this, you know.
I don't forget how old I am. my trainer yanked Jerome to tell me, I say, the goddamn one these days you're going to know your name. I just get into that. 65, 66.
How does it feel that, I mean, I couldn't even gather it up, you know, to be so big in the boxing history. How does that feel? I mean, do you wake up still and sit back and go, wow, I'm a major big part of boxing history?
Well, it's always great, man, to see you be number one of, let's say, when you represent the whole entire world, like America, you know what I mean? It's our great country. And let's say you and I, you know, could represent that country, man. It's a great feeling. Know that, you know, you're part of everybody in the whole world, in America. Let's say make you great to improve the whole world, you know, be a part of the whole world. It's a great feeling.
Absolutely. You know, the whole Ali and you guys are obviously a package when spoken about your guys' great trilogy or spoken about your career or when people talk about Ali's career, those three particular fights have always been brought together. It's a package, you know. I've seen you numerous times on Howard Stern. I've heard, you know, people give you a million questions, and it always seems to recycle off of those three fights. I want to kind of go in a different direction with you. I want to talk about what fighter out there during your whole career of the fight game, who is one of the toughest guys where you hit this guy with some of your best shots, and literally after the fight, your hands hurt from putting your hands on this particular opponent?
Well, I would say, number one, you know, I've faced all the great guys.
Right.
Guys like Machen, he was a great guy. He's out there in California. Let's say I had a guy like, who really didn't really make it big, but he was a great guy, George Scrap Iron Johnson. George Scrap Iron was a good fighter. He came with me to work with me and get me in shape. Guys like those guys who have been around, Machen, Doug Jones, you know, right on down the line, they were great guys, man. And I didn't feel no greater than them, you know, because they the one that helped me get together and get my job done when there was time to fight.
Right.
And therefore, you also have to give thanks to these guys. I mean, a lot of the guys don't mention their name, but I mention all these guys' names. I think about these guys. So where would I be if it wasn't them to help me to get right? I mean, I couldn't fight middleweight. I couldn't work with featherweight. I didn't work with bantamweight. I did try maybe in the olden days, like when I began to amateur, I had to work with guys like Gypsy, Massey, Leo Otis. These guys were light, heavy, and middleweights and stuff. But my trainer done this to me because I had to work with these guys. But he tied my left hand around my neck. So I wouldn't
right.
give a thought, you know what I mean? So these guys are all a part of me to be who I am. I love that.
Right, right. You know, Joe, I know you know you've been around for a long time. As a matter of fact, before I even go further with my second question, I got to announce that you got a birthday coming up on the 12th, right?
Yeah, right around the corner.
Oh,
right
man.
Right around the corner. What's your name?
21 all over again? I said, are you going to be 21 all over again?
I'm a Baptist. I'm still a Baptist. I think that's what you want to know, right? I'm a Baptist, and
uh-huh.
let's say I'll be 66, not 65, 66.
66. Right on,
brother.
66.
So I feel good. I don't feel like I'm getting any older, but therefore this is the number. Sometimes when you pick up a paper and the number seems like you say, where's my glasses? And then you know what time it is, you know what I mean?
Okay,
man, you're 66 years old. I mean, what do you mean, why not just wear glasses? But sometimes I have trouble at night, man, like when you're going down the highway and them big trucks throw them lights in your face and you say, oh, my goodness. But therefore, I drive on this big escalator.
Uh-huh.
Them scambuggers are worse than them truck drivers. They can run like hunting dogs. You know what I mean? They're one of the better cars, man, that they made, man, an escalator. And I love them.
You know, I like those cars, too. A little big though for me to be driving around. For the fans out there that are listening to Leaving in the Ring, we got the great Joe, Smoking Joe Frazier. If you want to take your time, take some time out and wish Mr. Frazier a happy birthday, you can go to his website, joesfraziercorner.com, and we'll be posting that also on our website so that you can go through and say happy birthday to Joe. Now, Joe, like I said, you've been around for a long time, and you're a legend for this sport, a man that's really given us some of the best times in the era of when heavyweight boxing was at its best. Does it surprise you a little bit in how things have changed in the heavyweight division right now.
Hey man, but you forget this. Hey, ain't no sense in going home. You only got your girl to go. You take my mind. You take my mind and devour my brain. Give a love that my man is saying. I'm really good. And what a good. Gracious goodness. Great balls of fire.
Ooh. Hey, Joe, you need the knockouts to back you up now.
Yeah,
you need the knockouts to back you up, Joe.
Get the knockout.
Oh, man, the guys are all, like, scattered around, but I got a group of guys who I grew up with in the South, the Bazant brothers. These guys are great guys, man. They still move around. I call them sometimes, you know. I've been laying in the bed, you know, and I lay some sound. I'm
oh,
very
good.
So I get a chance, man. I call him. That's fine. This one's in. He said, let's see. He took my mind and around my brain. That's another one.
There you go.
That,
you have a man to
man
say.
I love.
Right? You have a man to say.
That was Elvis, right? That was Elvis, right?
You know, I don't remember. Right. I mean, I think so many people redid those songs. It's kind of hard to remember.
It was Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
It was. You're right. Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, Jerry Lewis, man. Those guys, man, back in the day with music. The rap song I heard a while ago ain't too bad. I was listening to it. It was pretty nice, you know?
Absolutely.
You said you had a rap song?
The one you called a while ago while I was talking to you.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Hey, your money's not too filthy, nasty, dirty, you know what I mean? I could dance by it, but sometimes, you know, mama going up the stairs and daddy look up the stairs. Crazy stuff, man. I can't handle it. But that's the thing, let them have fun.
You know, different times, ain't that right, Joe?
Yeah.
Different times, you know. You had the doo-wop back in your days, and now we got the hip-hop rap, you know, in our days here, you know.
These guys that don't have to be making all that bad stuff. The music could be good, and they still could make a lot of money. They still could sell it, you know what I mean? And people like it, but when you start getting dirty, I don't think the young boys and the young girls should be able to hear something like that.
Exactly.
You know, they don't need to hear that because we got a problem trying to raise them as fine young men and fine young women, man. And we don't need somebody putting something in their head about mama and daddy, you know, upstairs in the bed doing
right. Stuff
wrong. It's no good, you know what I mean? I would just love to keep the stuff down normal, man. With respect, because hey, we got nowhere to go today. You know what I mean?
They're
taking all the good guys that's in the war, and more majority of them ain't gonna make it back. You know, so that's more work for me and you.
Exactly. Hey, you want to go ahead and ask a question to the great Joe Frazier, brother?
Hey, Joe, it's an honor to talk to you. Hey, I wanted to ask you something, man. You know, a lot of people say you fought most of your career, man, with you was blind in one of your eyes, man, like, pretty much. Is that true?
What? Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Listen, like, I got two set of lenses now. See, when you're making that love, you know, you can do a little classified thing, a little duck and dodge, and everybody don't have to know. But if I let the world know, then I could never fight. So therefore,
right.
I did a lot of private stuff, and me and doctor get along, like let's say cats and dogs. they're good guys, man, and you know, once that dog raised in the house of that cat, they can get along together. And me and doctor got along together like fine people, man. And if it wasn't for these guys, I would never have been champion.
Hey, when Ali left the sport, you boycotted the WBA tournament. Back in the day, tell me why you did that.
Well, because what you mean, like I understand the question. Yeah, the question again.
That's the question again.
Oh yeah, you when Ali had retired, well, he didn't retire, but he had to leave boxing in the late '60s. They had a tournament, and you were supposed to be in the tournament, but you declined on being in. You decided not to be in the tournament.
Yeah, okay, I understand. Well, the reason why, because number one, I was already when he came back. You know what I mean? And
right.
when I did give him a little test. Matter of fact, I'm the guy that went to President Nixon to ask him to give him his license so I can beat him up. So, I done my job. I did my job as, let's say, as a person. I mean, to show
right.
him how much I care, and I want to help him. And I wasn't scared of the whole situation. I went there and asked President Nixon. I said, President, he took me, let's say, to the White House. And I asked him to blow smoke. Say, what can I do for you? I say, Mr. President, I would like for you to give Muhammad his license and so I can beat him up. He said, well, Frazier, you sure you got him? I said, I got him in my back pocket. Just give him a license, I got it. Just gave him a license, I got it. So that was something what I asked him to do, and my one was answer.
You fought during an era where there's a lot of very good heavyweights, but there's a few you didn't fight. Is there anybody you regret not fighting? You never did fight guys like Ernie Shavers and Ron Lyle. Did you regret not fighting those guys?
Well, those guys are maybe a day or two behind me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were like a day or two behind me. I think I was going out of it by the time they come along, you know what I mean? But I don't think it would been last long, too long. The guy who was really there, let's say that put me through the test, were guys like Scrapper Iron Johnson, guys like Eddie Mason. Those guys put me right through the test. It wasn't like, you know, walking in and taking over. You know what I mean? Let's say Bonavena was another guy. He had me down. One more down, then the fight was over. But
what about you fought, didn't you fight Oscar Bonavena too?
Yeah, two times. I mean, he had me down in my hometown, and I got up and dusted my pants off. One more knockdown, I was in trouble. So I said, well, I'm going to do someplace and beat him up. So I asked for New York. New York gave him to me again. So I said, I took him out every round. So therefore, it's the thing that these guys, man, like, were great guys, you know. I didn't shun nobody. You know what I mean? I just want to say, who wants to fight me? I want to fight him. But therefore,
did you take Bob Foster serious when he came up to challenge you?
Yeah, he was serious. He had to be serious. I mean, but what he thought I was maybe a light heavy. I didn't grow up to a heavyweight. I went straight from mama's body to a heavyweight. Yeah. I didn't come out of mama as no little boy. I came out as a big boy. I was a heavyweight from Jump Street. You understand?
Right.
And then you guys like Bob Foster, Mason, these guys were light heavy. And Muhammad. Muhammad was a middleweight. But well, he won the gold medal as, let's say, a light heavy. But see,
right.
When I came out of mama, I was a heavyweight from get-go.
What about Jimmy Ellis? Would you consider him a true heavy?
No, Jimmy was on middleweight. Jimmy Ellis was a middleweight. And then he pumped himself up, and then he climbed in his knee. That was a mistake. You see what I mean? Because otherwise, I was a big boy from get-go. So therefore, things he hit me with, I shook him off. But things I hit him with, he couldn't shook it because I was a heavyweight.
The heavyweights today, they're really big. How do you think they are, the heavyweights from your era would do in today's sport against
man,
some of these
know,
super
it,
big heavyweights?
I wanna I won't like be like up to date, but if I want to make a mistake, I don't really know who's fighting today.
Right.
Because I don't really know who's fighting today. Because the guys are just so crazy, so wild, they're kicking a man when they jump down, fall on the floor. That's not nice. I mean, once you knock a man down, you go to a neutral corner and give him an account. But today, you knock a man down, they jump on him, beat him up. I saw a guy knock a guy down in today's boxing, and I thought they were having sex, you know?
What do you think about the state of the game today?
I don't think because I saw the guy knock the guy down. You're supposed to go to the neutral corner and give a guy a standing count. This guy
right.
jumped on him and started beating him up. I thought they was making love with each other, you know?
I said, what are you doing?
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's the time when you and I were here, there, and doing the thing to see what's going on. Fighting was fighting. But
right.
today, I don't know what they're doing. So you know what I do? I said, look, the ones that who I help over the years, I think I'm going to close the gym down. I close the gym down because it's not really there. And I can't stay there for, like, say, man, 10, 5 years or more and help them, and then they walk off and leave me. So, therefore, I'm going to just close it down and wish them all the best. Because,
Is boxing dead right now?
Hey, bud?
Is boxing dead or is it still alive?
Well, I'm not going to say it's dead because I haven't watched it here lately. And, like, I'm hoping that they all can go back to the old days where it could be something that, you know, we all could be a part of it and make it right. I mean, I had sons, I had daughters. They all was in the fight game, and they didn't want to do what's right. Back off.
Right.
See, I don't want to be in the nothing ugly.
How Marvin's doing?
I want to make sure.
How Marvin's doing?
Marvin's doing fine. Marvin's the minister, you know.
Right.
Yeah, he walking with the Bible, and you know, God forbid, you know, like as time went by, you know, you look at him, you know. And I said, well, son, you probably should have done this from get-go. He's a very good guy. He works hard. He lost his wife a few years back. And he got 2 daughters and, let's say, 3 or 4 sons and grandsons that now he has to raise. So, therefore, he's going to have to, like, stay, you know, within the good man above and do what he does to raise these kids in the right.
So that means Smoking Joe is now a great-grandfather.
Hey, man, just don't play me cheap, man. I got 30 of them. Hey, man, don't play me cheap. I got 30 of them. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you can't blame the kids now, okay? The kids don't fall from the chopping block. You know, the chip, when you cut a chip there, he don't fly all over the world. He jump right next to the stump. So that, this is what you got to deal with. You know what I mean? So I wasn't no angel. I mean, let's see. Over the years, I got 5 sons. I got 6 sons with 6 different ladies. So it's no problem. I got five daughters. With 2 different ladies.
So,
what's the problem? You know what I mean?
Ain't no problem.
I love taking care of them. I love seeing them all going to be fine, men and fine women. I have one, you know, he was a little, let's say, wild, like them guys over in other land, you know what I mean? He wants to smoke that cigarette. And then have fun. So now he's in the clink. You know what the clink is, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well,
hey, tell me something. How you get? Speaking of smoking, how you get the name Smoking Joe Frazier? Because you weren't smoking no cigars, man.
No. Oh, well, I did a little thing, you know, for an advertising as it went back. I think it was the cigar company. but therefore I didn't smoke. But it came from my trainer. My trainer was the guy who was telling me, oh, I said, to God damn it, said, I want you
was
to go out there and make
it
smoke. It was Yank first. It was Yank June
okay.
first, then Eddie
right.
first. But Yank
right,
used
right.
to tell me, oh, God damn it, say, I want you to go out there and make smoke come from them gloves. You know what I'm saying? That's why I got name. That's why I got the name from Smoking Joe Frazier. And he's telling me, make smoke come from the glove. That means a lot of working. That's a lot of points to be doing. I don't think I was about the closest guy to Henry Armstrong. He threw 200 punches in a round. And this is the guy I used to look at over the years. I look at Mason if I'm going to fight him. I look at Bonaventure if I'm going to fight him. Scrap on those guys. But therefore, I look at Henry Armstrong because he threw 200 punches in every round. That's a lot of leather coming at you, man.
Speaking of Henry Armstrong, a lot of people compare today's fighter, Manny Pacquiao, with Armstrong. What you think about that? You think he could compare to Henry Armstrong?
Any of the guys today?
Manny Pacquiao.
Any of the guys today?
Yes, sir.
Armstrong?
Yes, sir.
No. I don't think so. But then, it's really not the fighters for it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not the athlete sport. It's the trainers. Now, you can watch the football player, the basketball player, the baseball player. Them guys hit the ball, throw the ball, do what's right. Because you know what? Somebody in that football field came back on the line teaching them what to do.
Right.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, the boxing, it got your uncle. My uncle, their uncle, and never had a glove on in their life. But they're telling you how to fight. How can you tell me how to drive a car and you can't drive one? I got something for you. You don't even got one.
Yes.
You don't have a car. How the hell are you going to tell me how to drive? It's impossible. And I understand, how you going to tell me the wear a jock strap when you have nothing. Never mind. Never mind.
Hey, tell me one more thing, Joe.
Okay?
When in 1980 you fought one more time, was there any time you just considered coming back, you know, to do it one more time?
What's that?
After you have retired, you did come back for one more fight.
Oh, yeah, I came back for one more, huh?
Did you ever want to come back after that, though?
The kids didn't like the way I looked. Let's say my trainer didn't like the way he was gone, but therefore Eddie didn't like the way I looked. So what they said, Joe, you can't go back at it. You know what I say? Okay.
Right.
I had something else to fall back on, and I wasn't a guy that maybe to throw the money around crazy. Well, you know, like when you invest the summer, the lawyers and let's say investing managers and stuff, they probably do a little shaving, a shaving somewhere down the line, and this would happen. But therefore, I didn't make a lot of bad decisions when I was coming up. I put some of the money away because I was looking for the day that I got old so I could enjoy it. So now what I'm doing now, a few more days, I'll be 66, man. Ooh!
I think you had you a nice big Cadillac now. I saw some of them cars you was driving.
Yes, I said. I said, ain't no sense in going home.
You got so many kids, Joe.
I got one boy. I got one boy. You shake my mind and dissolve my brain. You want to look like a man to say. Yeah. I found my thrill on Blueberry.
That's that fast domino now.
Hey, man. It was out of man. Like, I love that music like I do the boxing. And let's say, when I slow down, maybe a couple more years, Yeah, well, if I'm around.
Absolutely.
Hey, I got one more question for Mr. Frazier, and I'm gonna pass it off. Because there's some other people want to ask you some questions, but I just had to ask you this, man. What's your relationship with Muhammad Ali today? What's it like?
About what now?
Your relationship with Muhammad Ali.
My relationship? Well, ain't much. Ain't nothing we can really do. Because he can't sing, and that's it. He can't talk. He can't run like I run, so therefore he ain't gonna keep up with me. So
right.
I gotta get some somebody, but slow down and stay up with him, so he can probably keep up with me. And then that's probably too much. That's more money we gotta spend again. So therefore, I've been hoping and praying, man, that. You know, the guy had seen things, let's say, going the way that we went by. We only got one God that we all could serve, you know what I mean? And
yes,
his ways maybe wasn't the right way. And then he walks around every day saying, I am thee. I am thee. You can't be thee. Because that's the Lord. We can be the, but we can't be the.
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Follow by what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
And he wouldn't back up on that. So maybe one of these days, I'm praying for him, that maybe he will realize that I am the. He can't be the. One the
yes,
above,
sir.
That's the Lord. Thy Lord. So, you know, what the... Well, we all gonna get down. Now look at him. Now when you get down on your knees tonight, now. I want you to be saying a prayer, okay?
Yes, sir.
I don't want you guys to be doing nothing else on your knees now. But just pray. I said, ain't no sense in going home. You only got your gal and go. But then when you're on your knees now, don't get no trouble. Hey, man, you guys tell us so. Give my regards to all the fans and all the people, man. Let them know I love them like Hawk loves Swill. Okay?
Absolutely, Joe.
All right, baby.
Happy birthday.
Okay, brother.
Happy birthday.
Take care of yourself. Thank you very much, man.
Thank you for coming through, brother.
All right.
God bless. All right now. Bye bye. Well, there you go, man. Smoking Joe Frazier. Man, that's a good spirit. Homeboy still with 66. Gonna be 66 years old, and he still seems like he's having the time of his life. I'm hoping when I'm that age, if I make it that far along, you know, I'm gonna be in good spirits like him, you know, and you know, really, honestly, it was like. We all kind of were on here kind of listening to, we were listening to our grandfather tell us some stories. Blood, what do you think?
Yeah, man, it was great talking to Joe Frazier, man. I mean, man, I don't even know. I'm still laughing, you know, all the singing and stuff.
Smoking Joe Frazier, you know, if you guys want to, you know, take some time out of your life, like I said, go to and say happy birthday to Joe Frazier. His birthday is on the 12th. That is actually the day of my daughter's birthday. And you can go to JoeFrazier'sCorner.com, JoeFrazier'sCorner.com, and leave him a happy birthday comment. You know, like I said, he's in good spirits. He's a guy that took some time and called in and chopped it up. You know, we got Joe Frazier a little early, and the reason why... we have him on in this segment, guys, is because the fact that we're going to start this whole new thing for the listeners. I won't, you know, announce exactly what it's going to be, but it has something a little bit geared up to old-time fighters, and the guys on the panel know what I'm talking about, but we're still trying to situate everything for this whole new year where we're looking to do, you know, always bigger and better things on Leaving the Ring, and hopefully you guys enjoyed having Smoking Joe Frazier. Strike Card and Chris didn't have a chance to ask him a question, But we'll get him on again to answer some of the questions that we were trying to get, you know, across with Joe. But, you know, Joe, hey, he's a legend, so you can't really interrupt the man when he's speaking or trying to direct him to what we want to talk about because he paid his dues in the ring.
Yeah, I enjoyed it so much, too, man. It reminds me of how much I enjoyed our Hector Camacho interview, too.
Exactly.
You get to live a moment in Joe Frazier's life with him. It's not like you're watching some edited clip on television. This is like what Joe's doing right now, unedited.
Right now.
Singing in his, wherever he's at, I'm assuming he's at his office or in his home, just singing, having a good time. I enjoy that more than getting some serious questions out of him, to be honest. I had a lot of fun with it. And him confusing UFC for boxing, and that was classic right there. I enjoyed that a lot, too.
Hey, you know what? You know, it was funny, though, because I was trying to ask him about the Manny Pacquiao thing. You know, I don't even think he cares to really even talk about Manny Pacquiao.
Well, he said, you know what, but he said, I don't watch boxing anymore. You know, he hasn't kept up with it. When you asked him, he was like, I don't even know who you, I don't even think he knows who Manny Pacquiao is.
It was funny because I just was like, wow, man, I guess he really confirmed the fact that he don't watch boxing when he... After
exactly.
I asked him that, though. Yeah, it was great talking to him, though, man. You know.
It was great talking to him, man. Like I said, this is a living legend, a guy that's really written history in the heavyweight division. Where, like I said, you know, when you speak of Ali, you're going to speak of Frazier because they're almost a package now. You know, they're hand in hand, I like, you know, the thing is this, man, is that it's going on 66 years, okay? And out of those 66 years, you got to look at, what, maybe 35 or 40 years down the line when those two warriors stepped into that square ring of drama and duked it out, and they've had some poor choice of words against each other, and there's been some bitterness, and it's funny, but in a way you're like, man,
he still carries the scars to this day, bro. You could even hear it. He can't sing no more, and all that. You can hear it a little bit.
He can't talk no more. When you ask him that question, I was expecting to hear him say, like, well, you know, anything I was expecting to hear Joe say, well, as we have a relationship, you know, the man is sick. He just went straight to the neck. He was like, he don't sing no more. He don't talk no more. So what kind of relationship do you want me to have with him, man? In a way, that's cool, but it's funny, too. You know, you couldn't help but not laugh about that, you know, because at one time, Ali had his moment and his way of taking jabs at Joe Frazier, and now where Ali, you know, it's not cool to make fun of him with the state that he's in, but in a way...
But the only person who could get away with it really like that is Joe Frazier, who fought three wars
exactly.
with him.
exactly. And Joe obviously took his moment and took his crack back at Ali for Ali, you know, naming them all these bad names and stuff, you know, and this was his way of getting back at him. It was great and stuff. We got some, Strikeheart had some time to take a quick interview with Nate Campbell and ask him some interesting questions. He did post up some of the interview, 10 minutes of it, or actually, it was, what, 7 minutes maybe, Strikeheart, of the interview on YouTube?
Yeah, I put up if by short you mean an hour, it was short. But, yeah, I spoke with him for about an hour, and I posted up.
No, I was saying the interview on YouTube was short.
I was just making a joke. Because Nate Campbell's a long-winded guy, and the more I get to know him, it seems like the longer I'm going to be talking to him when I catch up with him in the future. But, yeah, I put up just a few minutes of it on YouTube. It's kind of a hook. And so I promised that I'd bring more clips with us to the show tonight, and I'm assuming you're about to play at least one of those clips. But, yeah.
Throw the roll, Nate Campbell. Go on now. Roll that Florida, boy.
Bring that Florida boy to Nate Campbell. Before we have that Florida Nate Campbell, I'm going to pass in area code 619. 619, brother, what's on your mind? You are leaving the ring. Hello, hello.
619.
What's cracking, brother? Is this Carlitos? Hello, you there, brother? What you got, that Metro? stay away from those Metro PCs, bro. Get yourself a Verizon or something. You there, bro? Okay, he needs to get in the bad area. We're not getting him patched in.
Call back, 619.
Call back, 619. Okay, let's go with the area code 832. 832, brother, you're all leaving in the ring. What's up? 83, hello? Okay, you're probably on a Metro PC, too.
Jeez.
You got so many broke brothers, man. You got to get yourself a better phone. But go back to the old days, house phones. This ain't working out for you guys. I'm just you know, messing with you guys, man, because I know some of you can't get, you take it personal. Be talking about your money situation. We are in in tight ends of, at this moment in this economy. But anyways, I'll get back to the callers and stuff. I see a couple of them. I'll patch in. I try to patch in too, so you can't say I didn't try. The rest of you guys that have been on hold, I'll patch you in after. But let's roll in real quick with the interview where Nate Campbell talks a little bit about the situation with Manny Pacquiao and this whole Mayweather tobacco and steroids issue.
I just like, I ain't nothing special about me. I'm a fan that was good at something. And I'm still doing what I'm good at. I'm doing something that 90% of the people that talk about me and run me down can never do. 100% of them, for the most part.
Uh-huh.
They run us down the street, and they can't do what we do. But because of the internet, a lot of these guys can flex their keyboard muscles.
I hear that.
I mean, you can't just pick who you break the rules for. Or pick who you use the rules for. If the rules are the rules, then they're supposed to be implemented for everybody.
I have a situation that I'd love to bring up since you bring that up.
Talk about it.
Okay. And now that you're with Golden Boy, this is even more interesting to talk to you about it. This whole situation with Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, and this.
I really can't say what I want to say about that.
Uh huh.
I'm gonna just say this.
Okay.
There's nothing to hide. What's wrong with taking this test?
I think that there's one issue that I would say. I could see why you wouldn't want to do that. Because if everybody has to take the test, if that's what they want to do for everybody.
I took it with no question.
Right.
I took it for the Bradley fight. They didn't even ask me. They just told me we're going to take a steroid test. I said, okay, and took it. Because you know what? If you have nothing to hide, it's okay. And guess what? If you're going to complain about Vlad asking for something that you think is outlandish, what about Manny wanting to fight with him at a catch weight? How much bullshit is that?
That's bullshit. I agree with you.
But they allow that bullshit because it's what Manny wants.
Right.
When Floyd wants something, oh, Floyd is unreasonable. and we're going to take this to court and we don't get our lawyers. What kind of gay? I can't even use the word gay because that's wrong. I don't want to offend any people, anybody who's gay.
Okay.
That is some real Well, I don't even know what word for it because I use that word so much. That is the biggest crock of shit I've ever heard in my life. you want to get a lawyer because a man want to ask for the same outlandish shit you want to ask for. Oh, it's okay for you to ask for outlandish catch weight and weight drain guys and go over to the Philippines where you can get steroids right on the street.
Uh-huh.
The train. And then come over there after you've cleaned your system out enough to pass any test that we have on the books. But for Florida, the one random test is outlandish. Oh, give me some test. And again, it's only fair as long as it doesn't offend the person that they like the most.
I don't think
what Florida is asking is unreasonable.
If
that's the case, how is it fair for Manny to ask all these guys to come down and they'll wait?
I don't think that that's fair for Manny to do that. this is where I stand on the situation. For Manny, let's just say hypothetically, Manny agrees to the test, and then he ends up passing the test, and he loses the fight with Floyd. I think a lot of people might use that as evidence that his wins in the past had been because of performance-enhancing drugs.
And guess what? Win the fight. If you think Freddie Rose said, oh, he's going to run right through him, Mayweather is another. If it's like you said, he's going to run right through it. Don't do that, man. Don't do that. Don't make it out to be about the drug test because that your loss came by the drug test. Why can't it be that Mayweather was a superior fighter? And if it is because he was on enhancement drugs and somebody found a way to stalemate that, that's only right.
Right. This is where I think I disagree with you just a little bit. I don't have a problem with extra drug testing. I just want it to be for everybody or for nobody. I don't
know. Then guess what? Then catch weight should be for everybody and nobody.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay then, guess what? But if you've been letting it go this far with him getting the catch weight, let Mayweather go with it, get something to go his way. Why can't you skew the tables where it favors everybody?
I think both of these guys.
I mean, I know you. The one thing I like about you, Justin.
I
like the fact that when we do disagree, I don't get mad with you because I like to disagree with you. That gives us something to talk about because we always agree on everything. There'd be nothing for us to talk about.
You're damn right.
You know what really hurts boxing more than it hurts has become the hurt boxing more than it a lot more something than the health boxing a lot of times.
What's that?
TV. Those guys sitting around the ring. They're so busy sucking the other guy's cock, they don't stop to think about it. Guess what? The stuff that you're saying is there's no basis for this. Because you can't take those old school fighters and even put us in the same class as them. You've never heard me liking myself as a greater fighter than any old school fighter. You know why?
It's different.
It's different, dude. Those men fought because they had to. They fought the way they fought, the amount of fights they fought. There was no money out there.
Right.
I hate when fighters like, I'm better, I'm the greatest fighter of all time. Dude, come on. You're talking about a man in Ray Robinson that beat 9 Hall of Famers. Okay, let's get this established. He didn't just fight 9 Hall of Famers. He bested 3 Hall of Famers.
Right.
Now, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? And the sad part about it is, nobody stops to think about that. They don't stop to think that Ray Robinson is truly the greatest prize fighter of all time, without a doubt. There ain't 10 men that I think I could put in the same stratosphere as him. All these guys out here, oh, Manny Pacquiao is the greatest fighter of all time. Let me tell you something. He would never survive in the weight classes in the old days because they'd have made him win the day of. You get what I'm saying? Winning the day of. And it was totally different. Ray Robinson, he can never hold these guys' jobs. He can never hold the Henry Arnold. Henry Armstrong was the greatest total athlete in the whole history of the world.
Right. I mean, he jumped like 3 weight classes in that 1 year, but when he did it, I mean, the jumps in weight were significant.
Yeah, but he basically, in all actuality, did what Manny Pacquiao was trying to do.
Right.
That's 126, 130 pounds, 135, 140, 147 pounds.
Yeah, and
in 1 year. And he did it without making the other guy come down and wait.
No, I mean, he tried to take the middleweight crown, so.
Yes, he did. He went the middleweight and said, fuck that, I'm going to get this.
Yeah.
He said, look for the hurricane. The hurricane is coming to a city near you.
like I was about to say, I think that it's possible that Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather are just both so used to getting their way when it comes to demands. That the fight can't come together.
And it'll never come together.
Everybody was a little bit surprised when it was coming together so quick, and here we are now, so.
Manny Pacquiao wanted the way to go his way. He wanted everything to go his way. And then you got Freddie Roach, somebody, he don't know what GHB is. You're a goddamn liar. With the disease that you got, you know what GHB is. You're going to play dumb when it comes to something like that. I know what GHB is. I'm a fighter. So I know you know what GHB is. And you've been training or been around fighters as long as I have.
You know, man, I like what he was saying about the whole Henry Armstrong. And I gotta applaud Justin because every time he does an interview, man, he does one hell of an interview. You know, you hit a lot of points, whoever you're interviewing, and of course you're going to strike up some people that are not liking what you're having with Nate Campbell. Because, you know, what's funny is that I still haven't really gathered why a lot of people don't like Nate Campbell. You know, I'm even seeing in the chat room, I hate Nate Campbell.
Yeah, I can tell you why. It's because some people just can't handle a person who actually says what they think and doesn't bullshit you. And that's the kind of shit I respect out of people. People
yes,
who
sir.
Speak their mind whether or not they agree with you, because that's the kind of person I am. So Nate Campbell disagreeing with me didn't faze me at all, and I don't think
right.
I fazed him either. That's just the kind of guy he is. If you can't respect that, I think you're the one.
Yeah, but
problem.
You know, Justin, one thing about it, man, is Nate Campbell said something very important at the very beginning of that segment, that all these people who are going around criticizing him, I don't like him, this and that, they can't do what he do. You know
like
what I'm saying?
That.
Give the man some respect, man. He's a good fighter. He's won championships before. And, you know, he has the right to voice his opinion. He damn sure has a more valid opinion than anybody I know talking on YouTube or anything like that.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
So, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, say what you want about Nate Campbell, but he speaks his mind.
Uh-huh. If you – I don't know if we have the time for it now or not, but the other clip that I brought about him talking about Manny Pacquiao addresses that infamous tape that everybody has been talking about after the Eric Morales fight. It seems to be all the rage. I don't put a whole lot of stock in it just because it's something I never heard about up until now. I've always heard about gloves and stuff like that. But he addressed that too. I don't know if you have time to play that clip.
We got a few more minutes before our next call calling in, which is going to be the Flash No Needle Dornier. But, you know, I wanted to kind of get into what he talks about mostly.
Okay.
I'm a little interested about that, about what he says about Shane Mosley. And being that he just signed with Golden Boy, you know, because you're right, Nate Campbell is one of those guys that are going to speak his mind freely. And right away, when I see your video, I see Thomas really like, oh, yeah, he's going to close to the other guy's Manny Pacquiao. He signed with Golden Boy. I don't think they really understand that. Nate's one of those kind of cats that really doesn't give a shit who he's with. If he doesn't agree with you, he's going to say it. I don't agree with you.
And the funny thing is, he said, too, he said, I can't say what I really want to say. But did he not say enough right then? Shit, then what did he really want to say?
Yeah, I think, honestly, Brian, I think that he was really...
What did he really... Well, tell us what happened off the record, Strikeout, you know, maybe later.
what happened was... Is that he... He tried to just give the standard, like, I can't really talk about it. But then when I told him I disagreed with him, he really couldn't help himself. I think that's what it was more than anything, and that's why I like him. That's what it is. That's what I like about Nate Campbell.
Hey, well, you know what, though, man? This is the thing, is that your blood is so true. He's like, I can't say a whole lot about it. He reminds me of the kind of people that, like, you know, have you seen this movie? And they're like, no, I haven't seen it. And he's like, oh, well, I'm not going to tell you nothing about this movie. But, you know, and he started going into the details. He's like, man, I haven't seen a goddamn movie yet. You know what I mean? That's the thing. That kind of reminds me of, man. He just kind of just rolls right into it. Regardless, after he just told himself, I better not comment about this because, you know, I've gotten myself in trouble. You know, also, I did an interview a long time ago, and I never posted it. I don't know why. I got so much hours of interviews that I've done with fighters that I haven't posted a lot of it, and people don't even know that I interviewed these fighters. One of them is Juan Lascano, and Juan got into the detail. I don't know if you guys remember when Juan Lascano supposedly went to Oscar De La Hoya's office with a baseball bat to renegotiate his contract. That was a big rumor back in those days. And our resources, which were like the Ring Magazine, it was a topic in the Ring Magazine, and I brought it up to him. And believe it or not, I did not think he was going to answer me this, but he got into great details about that specific time of what happened, okay? And after us doing the interview, he hits me up later. He's like, hey, Dave, man, you know what, man, I keep telling myself I wasn't going to talk about that, and just for some reason, I let it out. do you think it could be possible, you know, don't post that or you know?
Hey, but you know what, man? I like guys like that, man, because you have so many fighters who are at the top of the game and they got PRs and stuff talking for them and they don't want to do interviews and they start thinking, like, you know, that they're above the people who pay to watch them fight, man. And, you know, I prefer to talk to people like Nate Campbell who are real open and you don't have somebody coming in and cutting off the interview and, you know, I know y'all know what I'm talking about, but that's all.
Yeah,
I'm
I know what you're talking about. I know where you're going with it, because I don't think about the same person right now. You know what I'm saying? And you know what, though? I don't understand who you're talking about, which is Sugar Shane Mosley, when they had his PR interrupt our interview. And it's left a bad taste in our mouths, obviously. You know, it's kind of take us off, but they did repay us back, you know. But, you know, I got to say, Sugar Shane Mosley was one of his fighters. I was not a big fan of Sugar Shane Mosley. I can't remember who I was telling this to, but I was like, yo, I was never sold on Sugar Shane until after he started finally leaving that little good boy image, you know what I mean? He started saying exactly what he was on his mind, because you got to know for a fact that these guys are fighters, you know what I'm saying? And you have to have a certain temperament to be a fighter. You have to have a certain temperament to know how to switch gears on and off, you know? And when I see a guy be like, you know what, well, I don't want to talk bad about this guy, I don't want to say that. It's like, dude, shut up. Come on, man. I know for a fact you probably said it behind closed doors. I'll whip that dude's ass. I'll kick his ass, you know? And as a fight fan, you know, I'm not saying all fight fans are, but I'm telling you how particular how I am, I like a little trash talking because it tells me you're human. It tells me you not only do this as a job, but you take it personal about a fighter. You know what I mean? There is some envy to every human being. You cannot walk around this world saying, I'm the most humblest person on earth. You're not Bobby. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, we got 4 minutes left before the next caller calls in. The Flash, no needle, no near. You know, and then we got a couple other prospect MMA fighters and boxing fighters that's going to be coming through that. They're going to be fighting in Nevada, the Prim Casino, under the Fernando Vargas banner of the World Collide. It's a boxing and MMA mixed event. You know, so you're going to have both worlds in that fight card. You know, I tell you the honest truth, I was not one of those people that were real happy about that. I didn't care for it. You know, I said, if they were to do this, if they were to start mixing this together, it was in a way, in my opinion, where boxing was actually saying, we need MMA help, and I didn't like that. But, you know, man, things change. I don't agree with this still. I got to kind of stand by what I believed in the beginning. I know a lot of promoters are doing this, and it's all for financial reasons, you know. Heavyweight division is dead. I've seen that in the chat room. I don't know. I think, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of heavyweights that are not doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. But we're just in that era right now. I think the era of the light guys are what's taking over. Klitschko brothers obviously are the best pound for pound. I think Blood, you touched on it, and you were right on when you mentioned that. Hey, these guys could have gave anybody fits in any era because of their size and their ability. These guys are really honestly are athletic, you know.
Sure.
But. Going back, I want to go back into really, really quick before our next caller calls in. Rob Billis, man, how are you? Quiet, man. Man, you still sick, Rob, or what's up?
Oh, no, I didn't even know. I was just, like, in disbelief. Every time I hear Nate Campbell's name, like, my brain, like, dies for, like, 5 seconds. It's like, oh, my God.
Hey,
I lag.
No,
I
heard Nate Campbell say, you know, I see all this crap. I'm like thinking, like, that's exactly what people think about when you talk, mate. They think, look at this guy talk all this crap again, you know?
I just like my brain lags. I have brain farts for a second, you know? I was like, what?
Well, I'm going to give you more brain farts right now in a minute, because we're going to go with Nick Cavill talking about Sugar Shane Mosley. And what do you got to say about it? Because I'm really interested about him talking about his boss, one of his bosses in the Golden Boy manner.
Here's something now, now that I bring up Shane Mosley, I just want to get your opinion on it, because this is another thing that's broken in the last 5 days or a week or so, is that now Berto's camp is saying that they didn't have enough time to ask Shane to take extra tests for their fight, and that that might not happen, and this everybody wants to talk about these tests now.
Let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
If he pulled out of his fight, HBO would never deal with him again.
Right. Just for the record, though, do you think that, that Shane should take extra tests or whatever, what the case may be?
I mean, I don't feel like he has anything to hide. If he has nothing to hide, take the test.
Okay. All right.
I mean, Shane is a superior fighter. I mean, Berto's my dude. We've been knowing him since he was 14 years old.
Yeah, right? I know. You guys hang out in the, you live in the same area pretty much, right?
Well, Florida.
Uh-huh.
All over Florida, certainly, when he was a little kid. I mean, don't do that, man. I mean, but don't do that. I mean, don't come trying to redo the contract after the contract is signed.
Yeah, it seems like over the course of this fight not happening one time, and now that it's coming back on again, that maybe just a tiny bit of bad blood has developed.
Shane probably don't like him at all after they make that statement.
Uh huh. Right. I couldn't imagine that he would. I think that Berto might be in for a rough night though, personally.
What happened to him when the kid Luis Collazo, and Collazo can't punch like Shane.
Right, and Shane walked through Collazo a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I think for me, the two guys that fight very similarly, but Berto's a lot more flat-footed and doesn't have as much power.
Jeff Lacy.
Uh-huh. Right. He just doesn't have the power that Shane does. On speed, they're probably pretty close to on par with each other. But Shane, when Shane hits him, Berto's gonna know about it.
Shane got a kind of foot speed that will ruin you.
Uh huh. Right. Footwork, Berto can't touch him. But hand speed, I think they're probably on par with each other.
Well, let me tell you something. Hand speed is the easiest thing to overcome. Foot speed is not.
I think Berto doesn't really know how to fight on the inside either.
Not like Shane.
No.
Me and Shane went to war on the inside some years back.
Really?
Yeah, I love sparring with Shane. I had a ball.
Yeah, I think Shane loves to spar with just about anybody.
Yeah, we had a ball sparring.
Well, he didn't really get too much into it, you know, but he did touch on some stuff there, you know, and
what I liked about it is that he stayed consistent. He did say that Shane Mosley should take extra tests, which surprised me a little bit, and it kind of shoots holes in anybody saying he's just, you know,
racist.
Sticking up,
yeah,
for,
you know,
because
he didn't set no double standards for Shane Mosley, so there you go, right there.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. He did it. Set double standards, but of course, you know, some people would see it as double standards. Our guest is going to be calling in a few minutes. Text me right now. I'll be calling in a few minutes. But go ahead, Strikehart, on what you were saying.
Yeah, if we have time later, there's a few more clips, and he does talk about, you know, how he feels about signing with Golden Boy and what his aspirations are with them and his outlook on them as a promotional company. So,
what do y'all think that Nate Campbell could do? Honest to all the guys on the panel, what do you think this does for Nate Campbell signing with Golden Boy?
He can clean up his desk now.
No.
Definitely a step above of Don King, who won't even give him a fight. He won't even even try to get him a fight. So
I'm gonna give you my honest opinion, man. And I'm glad that you brought this question up. I'm gonna tell you the honest truth. Golden Boy signed him. If for any reason they signed him, it's either to put him up with Juan Manuel Marquez, or possibly move him up to 140 to fight Victor Ortiz, okay? I don't think they signed him for any other reason to try to maybe get his name out there more or try to build a superstar. I think they want to use him as a stepping stone for their other fighters. Like, right. Marquez has really got a strong following. Victor, regardless of what you think of him, he's still in the mix of five stars, still has a chance of being a superstar. And I think that's what they might have saw out of Nate Campbell after the Timothy Bradley fight. That they're like, hey, listen, why not allow him to go to some other promoter? Then we have to negotiate with that promoter, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Nate does have a name. He is a credible fighter. Let's sign him on. So now we cut the bill a lot shorter than we were going to spend previously, and we'll put him in when our main fighters are ready. I think that's what it boils down to.
Well, they got burned one time, Juan Diaz, so if they think that he's just going to lay down and lose to the likes of Victor Ortiz or any other young cats they got, they're in for a surprise.
Well, you know what? You're right. They got burned with Juan Diaz by going back in with Paulie Malignaggi, but Paulie Malignaggi was not a free agent like Nate Campbell. If Paulie Malignaggi was a free agent, I will guarantee you they probably would have swooped his ass up too.
Right, I'm just saying that he fought Juan Diaz, a couple years ago, and took him to school. So he might do the same thing with Victor Ortiz.
Yeah, don't underestimate him.
Juan Diaz sucks ass.
I think he might be a little bit underestimating him because we have to kind of admit, Golden Boy has not had a great track record with the fighters at this moment. You know, the only one that's really, in my opinion, that's been keeping Golden Boy above water for them to breathe and make money is Sugar Shane Mosley. Other than that, the rest of the guys have fallen through the cracks. They've lost these fights that they were supposed to win. It's been a tragedy for them. 2009 was not a good year for Golden Boy.
Well, B-Hop always has some success, too, even though he's not fighting
B-Hop,
the guys we want to see him fight. But
I was going to say, don't leave out B-Hop.
definitely. B-Hop, yeah, but B-Hop has not been as consistent. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. B-Hop is getting a little older. He's picking the fights that make a lot more sense for his career-wise, where Shane, in my opinion, is the fights that people want to see.
Right. A lot of that, is out of B-Hop's hands because they took his legacy away from him, years back with Jermaine Taylor. Now,
so do y'all want to see him fight Green?
I don't want to see him fight Green.
I don't know who he fights. I just want him to fight because I don't want no excuses about him getting old overnight because of his, inconsistent fighting. You know, I just want to see him fight somebody just to keep busy until he actually
fights.
So
who do you want to see him fight? Ruff Dawson?
Man,
you don't want to see him fight no more.
See, I would like to see him fight
anymore.
I would like to see him fight Danny Green just because of the fact that it follows the pattern that he's had over the past few years, and that's to beat anybody who's given either Roy Jones or Jermaine Taylor trouble. It follows a pattern that he's established after his middleweight reign was over. So I like to fight for that reason, not necessarily because it's Danny Green, because it's some guy who knocked out Roy Jones. That's why I like to fight. Other than that,
I mean, come on. That's not even a true threat for Danny Green. I mean, come on. I mean, I don't know. I'd rather not see that.
Think Danny Green is not a threat from Bernard Hopkins?
I don't think so, brother. I think Danny Green stands in the lines of a Kelly Pavlik or Tito Trinidad, a style that fits Bernard Hopkins. Give him something different, you know what I mean? Just like when you were talking about Thomas Adamick. Give him something different. Hey, you want a real challenge? You were talking about David Haley. Follow through with that.
Hopkins does not want anybody fast, anybody young, and he sure as hell does not want another southpaw who is fast and young like what happened to him and Kazaki. Kazaki had him running all over the ring like a bitch.
I'm looking in the chat room right now, and everybody said, Taylor would kill B-Hop. Are we sure about that? Because I think we all said that when Patrick was going to step in there. We all said that when Manny was stepping in with De La Hoya. There's not a for sure thing in boxing, guys. Just remember that. There's nothing ever for sure in boxing. You know, Neil Dornier can even tell you that. People were saying Neil Dornier was going to get KO when he stepped in with Victor Chinian. So what happened?
Let me interject real quick. And I want to ask you specifically to Strikehart because he's a B-Hop fan. You know, word's going around that B-Hop may be wanting to fight Lucien Boutet next. Now, do you lose respect for Bernard Hopkins, which I would, if he ducks Chad Dawson and fights Boutte instead?
Not necessarily, actually. I don't know why you would lose respect for him, because in my opinion, Boutte could actually be the best super middleweight in the world. He's definitely the one guy that comes to mind who should be in the tournament that isn't. There's other guys that you could put in there, but he's the one guy that should be in it that isn't in it. And that'd be a really challenging fight for him.
It's hard to lose respect for anybody who's Bernard Hopkins' age.
And experience. Yeah, he's got nothing to prove, but that that Lucien Boutte really does remind me in a lot of ways of Joe Calzaghe, who is a guy who gave Bernard Hopkins more than he could handle. Bernard Hopkins made Calzaghe look like shit, but Calzaghe still clearly beat him. It would be a tough fight for him, really. I wouldn't lose an ounce of respect for him, especially since Chad Dawson brings nothing to the table money-wise for a guy who's practically, you know, ready to retire. Why are you going to fight some guy who isn't going to get you paid 1 cent?
I don't see the point of this fight happening at all.
Guys, I'm going to interrupt you because I believe we got our next guest on the line. Mr. Magneto is on here. Are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line. Good evening, guys.
Good evening, brother. I'm sorry, man. You know, there was something going on with that switchboard. I couldn't patch you in when I saw you. I apologize for you having you on hold for some time here. But, you know, we were talking about a little bit about, you know, how everybody always seems to think that certain fights are for sure things. And you were obviously in a particular fight like that at one time in your career. Many people have thought, Nonito, it's got to be a little crazy stepping in with the Raging Bull because everybody's thought for sure you're going to lose this fight. And I think you could fall in that trend of saying, look, there's no such thing as for sure or impossible in boxing. You were proving that, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That definitely is the thing. I mean, you had the Hagler, Duran, Leonard, Hearns things. You keep going back. It's different fight, different style, and that's what it is with boxing. It's just it's something that you can't – people and experts will always say this and this and that, but sometimes the outcome will be different, and that's what life is, and that's what boxing is all about, and that's why it's exciting when you put one of the best fighters together, you know, together, and then people will say what they know, but, you know, when you're in there, it's like sparring. When you spar, it's different. When you fight, it's even different than going in there. So, you know, it's nothing for sure. That's one thing that I know.
Absolutely, you know, and Marino is from the area, guys, from the Bay. I'm a Bay Area boy, so I gotta support my man 100%. I knew about Marino Guerrero before a lot of people were even talking about him in San Leandro. When you had made that particular match with Victor Chinian, I was pumped up, and I lost my voice in that fight because you were not only were you winning that fight, but you were clearly giving him a boxing lesson. Where after you knocked him out, he was in denial. After you knocked him out, he went back to the drawing board, and he actually decided to take up some boxing lessons because that's pretty much how you left him. Thinking is, you know what, I can't win all my fights with just throwing an overhand left hand, and you kind of schooled him on the basics of what a true pure boxer is. There's been rumors around you, and you're one of the pound-for-pound best fighters out there, you know. There's been rumors there's a possible rematch, and it's a fight that you've been asking for with Nonito. With Vic, is there any truth to that?
Right now, there's a lot of truth into that because my manager and Cameron Duncan and Gary Shaw have been talking for a Showtime bout, I think, for June, and you know they're trying to negotiate things, and you know how it goes. I mean, that's really out of the boxer's hand, but you know we're willing to make it happen. I mean, ever since 2007, we wanted the rematch, you know, because he's been saying it was lucky, and you know what? I'm here to prove it. I'm not here to back out or avoid anybody. I mean, he's made his name. He's made his mark on the 115, and you know he's beaten the top guys in 115. So I'm here. I'm going up in this weight, and whenever they want to mix it up. But there's a lot of truth into the negotiation for D'Artagnan and Lunaire too.
you know, right after you defeated him, he didn't seem to have nothing nice to say about you. You know, there was some bickering and even going along with Gary. We all know how Gary Shaw can be. He could sometimes be not the voice of reason, but they just took a lot of shots on you because you dismantled their prime fighter, their Showtime fighter at the moment, okay? And were you a little surprised, though, that as much talk as they had, it didn't seem that they were really, really in a rush of getting in there with you again? Or were you expecting that?
You know, I was just overjoyed with the whole situation at the moment. But, you know, they kept talking about it, and then they kept denying it, and then trying to, you know, I mean, they couldn't make it happen. I mean, I was just a guy who signed at that time because I was fighting for a world title, you know. So I had to sign with the promoter. And, but, you know, they couldn't make it happen, the rematch and everything, right off, but, you know, they got to get the guy ready, I guess. And apparently at this moment, he's ready for it. So, you know, he gave me the opportunity. Why not give him the same opportunity?
Hey, Ruff, let me ask him something. Right after that fight, man, you know, he seemed to be like, he had a really bad attitude. Like, you know, we saw it right there. You know, he seemed to think that what you did wasn't lucky. It was almost like he didn't believe it himself. Were you surprised just how much of a, like, I was just surprised. I had never seen somebody, well, I've seen it before, but, man, he was a real sore loser after that fight, man. What was going through your mind, man?
You know, I was
because you seemed pretty respectable after the fight. You seemed respectable, and he wasn't, you know, and he had just got knocked out by you. I couldn't understand
that. He's one of those guys that are, you know, you can't believe. I mean, I gave him a lot of respect, and I told him I respect you know, I gave him a lot of respect for the fight. But it was just, he was just, you know, bitter because, I mean, I took everything he wanted, everything that he built for. You know, he wanted to be undisputed. He wanted to be the best. He wanted to never go down and stuff like that. And I took everything away from him. I knocked him out. I dropped him. I gave him a cut, and I gave him his first loss. So, you know, for him, I mean, he was certain that no one could beat him, and it was a shock to him as much as it was a shock to the world. And you know, I'm not surprised. I mean, you meet all kinds of guys in this sports, but never kind of like D'Artagnan, who just, you know, just a
different
guy.
You know what? Amigo, you gave him, like you said, you know, you broke everything that he was gearing up for, staying undefeated, being this devastating puncher, being the raging bull. Not only did you beat him, though, you gave him a whooping. I mean, for a first loss for a guy, a lot of times you feel first loss for a guy, and it's really, they either get outboxed. You destroyed him. I mean, I was surprised he was able to make a comeback on that fight. I got this question for you. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, I think that, you know, he's not the same after that hit. I mean, because you can see it. You know, a lot of guys that hit him, even just a little punch, I mean, he gets stunned right away. It was, you know, when I fought him, I kept hitting him with the hook. I almost knocked him off the third round, but he was tough. This time around, when he gets hit, you can really see how he gets shaky right away. So, you know, there's a big difference from that fight and from the fights that he's been after.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, my next question is this, because honestly, the first fight was big, you know, and there's other fights I want to talk about, because I think there's a lot of fights out there for you that I've been, you know, salivating about and wanting to see you get in there and mix it up. But if the fight with Victor Chilin does happen, when the first meeting you guys had, there was obviously a great storyline behind it. There was a great motivation. And right away, you know how fight fans are, they're going to have questions if you may have those same motivation, meaning that, you know, the first time you got in there, he had just beaten your brother. You know, you had a lot of emotions going in because not only he beat your brother, but it seemed that the Filipino community was not completely behind you in this fight. After you defeated him, your emotions exploded. Is it going to be the same motivation stepping in with Victor Chinian, or could it be one of those impossibles we were just talking about in the beginning of this interview?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because for me, there's a different motivation definitely for this fight, and that's to prove, you know, to myself that I belong in this pound-for-pound ranking, and, you know, and I'm better than those guys, and I think that, you know, I want to prove to myself that I'm at that level. But, you know, the last fight, all the motivation went out, actually, because of the fact that I started talking so much crap, and it didn't matter if I was fighting for a title or I was fighting for my brother or my family. It was just more of, I don't care if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. Actually, that's all I could think about. It didn't even matter if I win or not. I just want to hit him. I just want to hit him. And, you know, he angered me to that point where I didn't care of anything but just hitting him. And I think, actually, when he got dropped, you can see in the corner, I wanted him to get up, and then when I realized he wasn't able to get up, that's when I started going crazy, because in my mind, I was like, I'm a world champion now. I'm a world champion. So I started running and just, you know, like a lunatic. I was just going around, and, you know, after I realized, but in my head before that, I was just, get up. I don't want to say to kill, because kill is kind of too much of an intent, but, you know, I want to destroy him. I want to hit him some more. And when, you know, I realized I was a world champion, all that left me. And
you wanted to kill him.
A lunatic. yeah. Let's leave it at that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it was just a lot of bad talking. You know, for me, I'm a respectable guy. I respect every fighter that goes in that ring. You know, it doesn't matter if you give me a respect, but for me, you put your life in there. You're a gladiator. You're a warrior. You're a fighter. So, you know, when you go in that ring, your life is on the line. So, you know, for me, I give a lot of respect to every fighter. A lot of people don't know how difficult it is, the process of getting into that ring, and that's why I give a lot of respect to everyone, because of the fact that, you know, we go through so much, you know.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you, man, and I've got to tell you, I appreciate the intensity that you came in that fight, because not only did you win that world title, but you won it for the Bay Area, and I think that a lot of the Bay Area cats were with you on that one. I mean, you made us proud. You know, we were happy that you were able to do what you did. I want to roll in real quick. There's been some talk about a possible matchup. You know, if the Victor Chinnan doesn't come along, and this one I was a little surprised, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I've seen this in the Boxing Examiner, which is a good writer, a good guy. He posted it up that there might be a possible Brian Valerio, the Hawaiian puncher, a Filipino descent. Is that something you're interested in? And do you think that his headline for that was, are Filipinos ready for two Filipino warriors to get in the ring?
Well, I think that, you know, it comes down to a business standpoint, you know. But, you know, they got to make it to 115 if I'm not going back down to 112. That's all I'm saying, you know.
Right.
I want to go up. So if you want to make it happen, I mean, right here, I've never denied anybody. But one thing is that when he's fighting and I'm watching, I give him support. You know, but aside from that.
It's a business in business, Nolito, but really, heart for heart, do you really want to fight him? I mean, do you see there's a reason to fight him right now?
You know, for me, my honest opinion, I think I would rather go with Montiel. You know, I want to get that WBO championship. That's where I want to be at. And then I want to move up into the weight classes, because for me, 115, you know, I'm struggling a little bit on it. You know, 118, I think, is perfect for me. And you know, if they want to make the fight happen, you know, I've never denied anybody. But I don't see myself fighting in that category anymore. I'm looking ahead of where, you know, where I want to be, and that's Montiel or Perez. You know, all those guys is where I want to be. I mean, that's the way I want to fight in. So, you know, no disrespect to him, but it's something that is not worth it. You know what I mean? So,
I gotta agree with you on that. I think at this particular moment, not only yourself, but I think your fans and everybody else that's been following your career, we've been waiting to see you become the superstar that a lot of us thought that you're capable of. And Brian Valera, like you said, no disrespect to him at all, but I think that's taking a step back, not taking a step forward. When you mention fighting Montel or Yanni Perez
or those two guys, I mean, it's not a hidden secret, but the rivalry between Filipinos and Hispanics is huge at this moment, and why not take advantage of those type of fights?
Exactly. I totally agree with that. And, you know, with that, it's because of pride. Pride of each nation. I mean, we don't try to kill each other in there. You know, it's the best, whoever the best man win. But it's hot because of the fact that, you know, it's pride. And everybody has that pride for their country, for the love for their country, and for their man. So, you know, everybody gathers and you know, we support whoever we want to support. You know, whoever we are or whoever we feel that we are. So that's one thing that makes the rivalry between Filipino or Latinos or Mexicans in Puerto Rico or, you know, stuff like that. So that's the beauty of boxing. That's the beauty of fighters that, you know, you could pit fighters around the world with another fighters around the world. So, you know, it's beautiful. That's what it's called.
You know, there's a big name out there, and I'm going to pass it on to the rest of the guys on the panel. I'm hogging you up, brother, because I got to say, I'm a huge fan of you, first off, you know, and you've been a guest that I've been trying to get on, and I was great, man. When I seen you at the press conference for Ward and Kessler, I right away was like, oh, there's no need. I got to go talk to him. I got to get this dude on my show. So I appreciate you and your wife. You know, your wife was great, too. She was like, no problem, but there's a name. This guy is a big name in Mexico, and your name has been coming out of his mouth quite a few times. And a good friend of mine from Diamond Boxing was able to interview him and put it on YouTube. I don't know if you saw it, but Jose Travieso, he's been calling you out. Is that a particular name you would, if you can't get any of those other guys at this moment, would you want to fight the Lollipop Kid? Is that a fight you'd be interested in?
You know, with Arce, me and him are good friends. You know, we always see each other, we always give respect to each other, and we always laugh, stuff like that. And, you know, when it comes down to that, I mean, I think that it'll all be business. Arce is a big name and big crowd pleaser. So, you know, it's something that maybe Mexico will want to see. But, you know, I'm here to fight anybody. But, you know, like I said, he clowns with me all the time. He clowns with me, calls me out, and he tells me to call him out. So, you know, we call each other out.
He did mention you guys were good friends, but he was like, business is business. He said it in Spanish. And then he calls you out in English. He says, I want to fight you. Let's make this happen.
Yeah,
you know?
He started punching his hand and stuff like that. But, yeah, he does that a lot. And then, you know, that's Travieso. So he's a great personality. And he's a great guy, you know. And, you know, he was talking to me before about, you know, his kid being born and all that stuff before the Pacquiao fight. So, you know, I give him a congratulations for that. But, you know, it's one of those things that truly it becomes business when we fight. But we're good friends. And, you know, that's the beauty of boxing is that, you know, you go in there, you know, you don't bring anything outside and you don't bring anything inside to outside. So it's just going to be purely business. But it's something that if it brings me a better deal, then you know what? Why not? I mean, Arce is a great fighter, he's a great champion, and if they want to make it happen, you know, I've always been saying, you know, let's go fight Arce or Montiel, you know, all those guys, and make it happen. So, you know, and that's what they're doing as well.
I say this: if we can't get Montiel, Arce obviously is a great bill to bank on, just because of the fact is he does have a strong following. He did lose to Victor Chin, but he showed a lot of heart in that fight. He showed that he could still hold his own and take a beating. Could he win against you? I highly, highly doubt it. But then again, I'll be contradicting myself about the impossible. But I don't think I'd put money on that he'd beat him. But I think that it would not only be entertaining, but it would be a great build-up for you to build up to get in with Montel. Or Johnny Perez.
I think that's a good... That's a good step into it. Actually, when he fought D'Artagnan, I talked to him, and I talked to his dumbass. I told him, don't go to that side, and that dumbass just went to the other side. You know, I was like, come on, man. You know, so I could tell him, you got to go this way. And when he fought, just his regular style just went over. But he was, you know, I was showing it to him. He was moving the right way. You know, everybody saw that. That was in Vegas, you know. He was moving the right way, and I was telling him, you got to go here, you got to go here, you got to go here. Yeah, I guess he just forgot all about that.
We got Nonito the Flash Donaire leaving in the ring. I'm going to pass it really quick to Strikeheart,
my co-host Strikeheart. Strikeheart, go ahead and ask your question, brother.
Sure. Got a few questions for you, Nonito. Pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. Thank you likewise, guys.
I'm going to bring it back to Vic Darchinian just for a minute here. I want to get your comment on the way his career has been looking lately. After he beat Christian Mahares, everybody kind of thought that maybe he had learned his lesson from you and was going to maybe box a little bit more and think inside the ring rather than just go and try and take people's heads off. But especially in his last two fights with Ibeko and Rojas, he's looked pretty crummy. He's just been aggressive and really hasn't thought and relied on knocking a guy out. It worked one time, but with Ibeko, it was a miserable failure for him, and he still hasn't learned. So what is your thought on that?
Old dogs, you know, don't learn new tricks sometimes, you know. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, you know. So, I mean, that's it's a habit for him, you know. It's a habit, and once he gets the rhythm of it, he just wants, especially when you tap him. You tap him in the face, he gets pissed off, and then he just forgets everything. So, you know, he's one of those guys that are easily manipulated when it comes to fighting, you know. You know, all you got to do is piss him off, and he's the raging bull. You know, and he doesn't control himself anymore, and he just does the same thing over and over. And, you know, he's going to fall for the same punch with me. So, you know, unless he changes style, you know, I want him to change his style. I want him to be better. So I want to be better. You know, I want to see where I'm from, where I came from, where he's from, you know, in learning from the last fight. So, you know, I want to fight the best out there. So
what chance do you give him? Because I'll tell you right now, I give him practically no chance in a rematch with you. Do you have any respect for him going in as far as this guy could possibly beat me and this is how he would do it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's a powerful puncher. You saw it the last fight, and the guy ran into the punch. You know, it was completely lucky punch. That's what you call a lucky punch. But, you know, he had the punch. So, you know, when you get that guy who has power, I mean, you know, there's always danger into that, you know, especially when the guy has the power. So, with me, I give him a lot of respect, and I'm going to train hard for it, and I'm going to dissect his style from the last time we fought to his latest fight and see what I can break down. But I don't really see anything different. But, of course, there's respect for a fighter going to that ring.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you've mentioned already that you are strongly considering moving up into the bantamweight class. Do you plan on staying there very long if you do make the jump? Or is it just going to be a pit stop for you?
You know what? If I can get the title, that's going to be a pit stop. I mean, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to move up to 122 right after. I mean, it really depends on my manager and promoter and things happen for me. But aside from that, you know, I just want to make things happen. You know, I want to see. I want to fight the best, and I want to catch up to the best. And, you know, it just keeps me going. I mean, I don't want to be complacent. I could stay in 112 and then beat anybody and everybody in that weight class and be champion for a long time, but that's not what I want to do. You know, I want to constantly challenge myself and get better every time and, you know, learn each time. So that's what I want to do. It's just a desire to be the best, you know.
Is part of that desire come from, and I know you, my understanding at this point is you basically live in California. You don't really live in the Philippines, though that's where you came from, right? I mean, you've
right.
been in the United States for quite a while. But is part of that you looking at Manny Pacquiao and seeing him jump up in one weight class after another?
Right.
Is that part of where that comes from?
He gives me a lot of determination, a lot of encouragement to do the things that I want to do. You know, that there's no impossibility in things. And I was just looking at, like, fights from the old school where, you know, the heavyweights were smaller than the other heavyweights, and there was a big difference in weight classes. You know, but they have to fight the heavyweights because they were ranked heavyweights. So I want to be able to prove to myself and just constantly challenge myself and belong in that pound per pound and feel like I belong in that pound per pound. But that's what I want to do. I mean, I'm just inspired by the great fighters that I see right now with Pacquiao, with all those guys, you know, and just go from there. But I think just ultimately the feeling of to keep going, you know, and not be trapped with just staying in one thing, and that usually is dangerous because once you feel comfortable into things, that's when you start losing. That's when you start getting old. You know, I want to be able to keep moving, and don't feel like I'm getting old because I have to move my butt, and I need to train, and I need to do everything that I can in order for me to be in the level of these guys and in their weight classes.
Uh-huh. All right. I'm going to hold myself back from asking you about even higher weight classes because I don't want to hog all the good questions. I got one last question for you, though. What is your and let me segue into this question with this. I know you probably haven't spent a lot of time in the Philippines recently, but I could imagine you make trips back and forth. That's just my assumption. On any of your trips to the Philippines, have you ever found it easy to buy performance-enhancing drugs or steroids on the street? Because it's something that I've been hearing out of a lot of people's mouths lately, is that the Philippines is a place to go for performance-enhancing drugs.
I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, in countries like the Philippines, Thailand, and all the other stuff, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that they do, and, you know, it's connected to everything. You know, it's easy to get everything, but I always believe that, you know, a fighter is always going to be a fighter. And I think, for me, I've never really got across, and I've never really gotten to that point, you know, or even thought that that it was easy to get. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, you can get anything in the website, you know, in the internet, you know, as easy as that. And I think anywhere you go, you know, just not in Asia, it could be anywhere. I mean, it could be Mexico too. I mean, anything,
right?
And everywhere, you know, where the lack of what do you call that? To watch things, you know, and you know,
I mean,
it can
be
anywhere.
Honest, right?
But you know, let's be honest though. You can, I mean, for somebody to say it's easy to get in the Philippines, it can be reversed. The tables can be turned and say, yeah, it's as easy as you can get that on the corner in the United States too.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, like I said, you know, it's everywhere and anywhere, you know. So with me, I mean, I've never really looked and thought about it. So I don't really know how easy it is to get it in the Philippines. Because all I do when I go out there, you know, I just enjoy my life. You know, I just feel the blessings that everybody has given me. You know, when they come up to me, take pictures, and all the other stuff. Yeah, that's all.
But
all
you
I
have never heard nobody like say it's significantly easier to get it in the Philippines. You ain't never heard nothing like that before.
I've never heard anything like that at all. I've been in the Philippines and I've known, but all I know is that everything and anything there is easy to get, you know. I mean, like I said, in the internet it's the same thing, but you never know what's in there. you know, you never know what's in there. If they do have it,
right?
You know, you never know what kind of stuff. I mean, they sell all kinds of food from what? Is it China? And then it could be rat meat or something, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They say this and this and that, but it could just be dirt, or it could just be poo or something, you know? And you think, it's making me big, you know? I mean, our mind is how we work, you know? Our mind is how we think, you know? If we think that we're going to grow bigger, our body's going to grow bigger, because that's what our mind thinks, and it's like a placebo effect, where when you think that way, you know, and for me, I always think that I can do anything, and that's why, you know, I feel that, you know, I can do a lot of things, you know, but, you know, with that mentality, I mean, say with Manny, Pacquiao, you know, his mentality is that. That's when he goes in there, he doesn't let anybody push him, because his mind is straight on one thing, and that's to defeat his opponent, and, you know, so, I mean, that's my 2 cents.
Yeah, I don't know if it bothers you or not that people, I'm sure, are probably asking you more frequently now than maybe before about Manny Pacquiao simply because you're Filipino. I hope that doesn't bother you that I'm going to ask you to comment on his whole situation now. I could understand how that might be annoying, but at the same time, I think
most of our listeners are
expecting you to comment on that.
Yeah, and what I always say is that, you know, they're just playing the game. I mean, you know, Mayweather's playing his game, maybe Manny's playing that game. So, I mean, people might look at it differently, but you never know what goes on into the thing. But one thing is for sure, it's hyping both of them, you know. And one way or another, when money talks, you know, money will talk. And these guys will go in that ring. So eventually it'll happen. But one thing right now, I feel that they're just playing games.
Uh-huh. I could agree with that. Either that or they seriously have a problem trying to get this thing together because it needs to happen. But
yeah,
I'm going to
yeah.
hold myself back. I have a handful of questions I could ask you, but I'm going to save those because I know the other guys probably had those same questions. So 916 Chris, go ahead. Take your time with Nonito.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask a couple quick questions. You know, Gary Shaw's been real critical. I think it's more so sour grapes than anything else of your career since you, you know, kind of left him. Is there anything, you know, do you regret anything by leaving Gary Shaw, you know, or do you think that it was the right move for you?
No, I mean, I'm thankful that he gave me the opportunity to fight. But, you know, when I was with him, I was stagnant for a year and a few months without a fight at all. So, you know, I'm happy with Top Rank. They've given me 3 or 4 fights already. So, you know, I think it's a wise move for my manager. And but I'm always thankful for the opportunity that Gary Shaw has given me. So,
you know, I never really looked at your record before the Garchinian fight, and the couple opponents that you had right before that had, you know, really lackluster records. Do you think that when you were brought into that fight, the Garchinian fight that is, that you were just brought in as an opponent that they thought, you know, Vic was going to get an easy, impressive win over?
Well, they know that, you know, Gary Shaw actually has given me fights, and they know what my capability is. You know, he even said it himself that it's going to be a tough fight for Garchinian. Maybe he was just trying to hype things up, but, you know, I said it before the fight, I'm going to knock this guy out or I'm going to beat him by points without hesitation, you know. And with my career before, they know that I fought anybody. They gave me 2 days' notice, 3 days' notice. I didn't have any manager. I fought guys at 122, 118, 119 when I was like 108 and 112. So they know what I'm capable of, and they know how big of a heart when it comes to fighting. I'm not going to back out. So, you know, maybe they thought that it would be easy, but they know I can box, and they know that I'm smart. So here's a chance that I don't really know what goes behind them, but, you know, there's a big chance for that as well.
My last question, and it's kind of a two-part question. I heard you mention earlier it sounded like you said something along the lines of, like, you took an opportunity, you signed it because of the opportunity to fight Vic. How do you feel about that? That's a problem that I have with boxing, when sometimes you have to sign with a certain promoter or give over certain rights to get that championship opportunity. How do you feel about that? And if you had to give away promotional rights to yourself, to Gary Shaw again, to get the Garchinian rematch, would you do that?
Well, you know, it's hard now. I mean, I have the name now for it, but at that time, you know, I was just a little boy who wanted to be where this guy was. You know, this guy was there, and I wanted to be at that spot, so I took every opportunity, and, you know, nevertheless, it was, you know, no matter what, how you look at it, it was an opportunity that got me to where I'm at now, so, you know, I didn't regret anything at all.
So, but would you, I mean, I'm saying, like, if they gave you the rematch, but you had to sign over, you know, some of your fight rights as far as, you know, for Gary Shaw to get a percentage of your upcoming fights afterwards, whether you win or lost that fight, would you do that?
Oh, no, definitely not. I mean, you know, it's just a bad move. I mean, you know, they're just taking advantage of things. I mean, as much as I'll fight for small money, but when somebody's trying to take advantage of it, you know, I don't play that game.
I completely understand that stance and probably agree with you. All right, I'm going to pass it on to my co-host, Blood, if he's still on.
Blood, you still there, brother?
Yep.
Go ahead, Blood.
Hey, I'm sorry about that. I had the phone on mute. I'm up here talking. And, y'all can hear me, right?
Yeah, hear you, brother. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Man, you know what, man? You got to fight Garchinian again, man, because he's been selling out major, man. He's been really selling out, man. I mean,
well, I've been waiting for it, you know. I've been waiting for that opportunity, so, you know, I'm here. I mean, they say they want to make it happen. The last time I heard was Gary Shaw said never he'll put me with Garchinian, so this time they're trying to change their mind. You know, but I'm really not the type of the guy who will play games. I mean, I could be like, oh, that's too bad. You guys had your opportunity. That's too bad, man. You know, I don't play that game. So,
well,
you know,
well, really, you
out.
Don't have to fight him again because you beat him so convincingly last time that you really don't have nothing much to prove.
Right.
Except he's just been talking so much trash, man, because almost every interview I see him on, man, he's talking about how that fight and how he wants to fight you again. And, you know, he doesn't really seem to think that he doesn't give you any credit for that fight, man. How do you feel about that? I just want to know, because
you're
knocked him out.
You know, yeah, well, that's fine with me, you know. People will always have their opinion, no matter how wrong they are. But that's just one person against the whole world, so it doesn't bother me at all. So, like they say, they just tell me, break my bones, but words can't hurt me. So, you know, that's one guy against the world. And he's gonna
I'm gonna put you on the spot right quick, man. I heard that you could sing, man. Go ahead and bust us a note real quick, man.
Oh no, man. I'm good with singing,
man.
I heard
you got some skills, bro. That's just what I heard. I don't know. So just let's see what's up.
Well, I thought you knew that.
Hey, Ruff used to sing too. 97 Ruff used to sing too. So you know, hey.
You really want me to go
over here? Go for it, brother.
Oh my God! You serious?
Hey, man.
but just a quick note, just to give us a sample, right, you know, all right,
just for you guys.
All right.
10 o'clock on the dot, I'm in my drop top, cruising the street. I got a real pretty little thing that's waiting for me. I'm all dancing over here, but whatever. You gave me all bless you, man.
This is the first time I'm leaving the ring. We had both fighters. We had Smokey Joe Frazier on just a little while ago, and you were singing too. And then we got you singing
over
there.
There you go, see? Hey, we got a soul, man. Fighters got souls, man. So, you know,
right.
We love the music. That's what we Well, thank you guys, though, for having me on your show. You know, just get me up next time again, man. So I'm all blessing already.
Absolutely.
Hey, man, we appreciate it, man.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to get the move on my leg when I was singing, all right? When I was singing. I got my move on and everything. I got my slide and everything. So I got that. But shout out to the Bay Area, to my fans, to the Filipino community out there, and everybody who loves boxing. Boxing is a beautiful sport. And please visit my website in www.filipinoflash.com. And thank you guys again so much for having me. You had a great time, guys.
Yeah, brother, thank you for coming through, man. And also thank Rachel DeMille, Nonito's wife, who's helped me get this set up and ready to go. Nonito, thank you very much, brother, for coming on, leaving the ring and chopping it up with us.
Thank you, guys, and happy New Year to you guys. Let's kick 2010. We're going to beat everybody, and that's my goal, man. Thank you, guys.
All right,
man. All right, man, well, there you go. Like I said, we just had Smokey Joe Frazier sing the note, and then we had Nonito come through to sing the note for us, and with something else. I think we have
in the drop top, too. Hey, Ruff, in the drop top, too, bro.
It was a
in the drop
man.
Top.
Oh man, you know it's always a good thing on leaving the ring. If you're just tuning in, you missed Smokey Joe Frazier singing, some oldies but goodies for us, and then we had Nonito bringing it up back in the '90s. I think we got our next guest on the line. Area code 702. Are you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Who we got, brother? Because I think all three of you guys have the same area code. Who's this?
This is Danny Davis.
Danny Davis, how you doing, man? How's everything going for yourself right now?
Oh, man, everything's going up and up, feeling real good, you know what I'm saying? Everything's great. You know, I'm feeling blessed every day doing what I love.
Danny Davis, you got a fight coming up. It's in Nevada, MMA fighter. I believe our correspondent who does our MMA did an interview with you. And I was able to chop it up. And I'm pretty sure your opponent's supposed to be calling on the line. Let me see if this is him really quick. Area code 833. Are you there, brother?
Yo, what's happening?
What's happening, man? Is this Jorge?
Nah, I'm just a caller, man. Just a regular calling, checking out the show.
Oh, right on, brother. I appreciate it, man. I'll get you back on right now. Let me just go back to the guy that just called in right now, Danny Davis, who's an MMA fighter, got a fight coming up. Chris, I'm going to pass it on to you, brother. Go ahead and conduct your interview with Davis.
All right, man. I'll definitely do this. What's up, man? See, you got a fight going on this weekend.
I don't really know too much about yourself or your opponent. You know, this is my first time catching up on you guys. Do you know anything about this guy? Because I know this is like a tournament. So have you guys seen this guy fight prior, or is this the first time you're going to be checking this dude out?
Oh, man. No, I've definitely seen George get down before. You know, he's a pretty scrappy kid. He's young. He's very aggressive. He has some great boxing skills, you know, as well as a decent wrestling game. So, you know, I've seen him, you know, do a few things in the ring. However, to my knowledge, I think the last two fights, you know, it kind of went to decision, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not sure how his power is and whatnot. But, you know, I've actually even sparred with him before living here in Vegas. He lives here in Vegas also. And I spent some time over at Vanderlei's gym helping Vanderlei prepare for one of his prior fights. And just being over there in his gym, you know, I come there sometimes sparring, and I got to spar with the kid before. So, man, he's real good. I remember him being one of the best stand-up guys there at their gym. So, yeah, man, the kid got some talent.
All right. Now, I'm checking out this article that, you know, one of our correspondents that talked to you wrote about you, and it says you were a former Muay Thai champion, national amateur. How long were you competing in Muay Thai for, and how did you get to transition into MMA?
Man, I competed in Muay Thai for about 2 years, amateur, you know, raked up about 20 fights, you know what I'm saying, only lost once, had one draw, and, you know, I was doing it, I loved it, I still do, but I noticed if I want to make fighting a career, I needed to switch gears into MMA, and plus, I'm someone who loves the challenge, and I love new things, so starting to develop my wrestling and my ground game was something new to me, and it sparked a fire in my brain, you know, and I stuck with it. I kept with it. You know, I saw how big MMA was getting, and, you know, I decided, hey, let me invest my time into this. And I'm an athletic person anyways, and I'm able to learn fast, and I was able to pick up my ground game pretty quickly. I'm still working on it, still developing in it, but I'm already pretty strong at it. And, man, MMA is just something that I love because it's everything. It's stand-up, it's the ground, it's pushing, it's pulling, you know what I'm saying, it's clinch, and it's just the all-around mixed martial arts, and that's what fuels me to keep going.
Right. It says here that you worked with Frank Mir, that is, helping him get ready for Chet Congo. Is that true? And if so, how did that come about? You know, how did him contacting you, helping him out with that, come about?
Oh, yeah. First off, big shout out to this big dog, Frank Mir, just saw him this morning at the gym. But, man, my trainer and his trainer are good friends, and they work together, shouts out to Giphy and shit, and Richie, my trainer. But, yeah, a lot of people already know about me here in Vegas. They see me on the underground scene as far as doing the amateur events. Frank's been to a lot of my amateur fights and has seen me get down, and people have heard about me. So once the Chet Congo fight came up, they knew that I'm tall like Chet. I'm great at Muay Thai like he is, and I might not be as big, but I'd be faster. So Frank felt that me having those attributes can come in and do a lot of sparring with him and help him out, you know. And once he went to fight Chet, he said, hey, he told me after the fight, you know what, going against you and going against him, it just made him seem slow. So it kind of helped Frank out, you know.
Right. I also saw something where it said you tried out. Did you try out for this season, this upcoming season, The Ultimate Fighter? And if so, how's that going? I mean, have you heard anything back yet on that, or?
No, actually, I tried out back in late 08, you know what I'm saying? At that time, I only had about 6 months of a ground game, and I didn't make it, you know what I'm saying? But I had got requested to try out for this upcoming season. However, this season coming up is like 185-pounders, and I normally fight at 170, you know? So even this fight against George Lopez is at 180, so I'm stepping up a little bit. But me and my management team, we got together. We said, hey, look, you know, you're young in the sport. Let's not be in a rush. The next season after this upcoming season is back to 170. And by that time, I have some more fights under my belt. And we decided to just wait it out. I'm going to go for this next season after the upcoming season, once they have the 170s back on. You know, some of the decision makers have seen me, and they like me. But like I said, me and my management team want to chill out a little bit, be patient, and we'll go for the next season.
Something else here I saw, it says you're a hip-hop artist. I take it that you rap, and you've worked with guys like, or you've been on stage with guys like Ice Cube and Bone Thugs and 3-6 Mafia. What can you tell me about that? I mean, those are some pretty big names to be out there with.
Oh, yeah, man. That's, you know, rapping is actually like my first love. It was like my first child, you know what I mean? I always compare it.
You're going to have to bust the floor on this, dog.
That ain't no thing. We could do that all day, you know what I'm saying?
But, yeah, man, I've been doing the rap since I was, like, you know, it's actually one of the things that got me out of trouble, you know, when I was young, a juvenile. I got locked up a couple times, you know what I'm saying, did two different bids. And right before I turned 18, I found out, you know, my boys started freestyling, and I love that stuff. And, you know, I found an internship at a studio and started cleaning toilets for free, did the Cinderella thing. And, you know, after about a year, I learned how to engineer. I got to record my own projects, and I started meeting a lot of people. And, yeah, I got an opportunity to open up for cats like 3-6 Mafia, Too Short, Flo Rida, Ice Cube at the House of Blues, and, you know, it goes on. And that's still something I pursue, but right now, to me, the music industry is in a slump. You know, we're in a recession, and fighting, I love fighting. It's more of a challenge, and it's a more of a sure investment of my time right now. So, you know, my gears are focused on fighting for the time being. And, you know, we still get in the studio a couple times a week. We still do a few things. I'm still known from underground scene in Vegas, and we're keeping that dream alive as well.
So you ever going to be like Roy Jones did back in the day and come out rapping your own track or what?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, you know what I mean? I think just from feedback, you know, I got a little more rap skills than Roy Jones. And definitely, you know, one day.
I was going to say, don't tell me you rap like Rick.
I ain't no amateur fighter. I ain't no amateur rapper, you know what I'm saying? And one day, you know, hopefully I can come out rapping one of my songs or not having my songs bumping over the big speakers.
Yeah, no doubt. No, we had two guests on earlier, Joe Frazier and Nonito Donaire, a couple of boxers, and they both sang. So I definitely think that my host, 97 Rough, would definitely, if you're down with it, you know, to bust a quick, you know, line or a quick.
Let me ask you this real quick. Are you one of the lyricists that need a writer, or you got a freestyle? Do you freestyle? Which one is it?
Man, I do both. You know what I'm saying? I like to write songs. I'm not like the best battle rapper, but I can still freestyle on point. You know, I definitely can freestyle on point. And, you know, I'm a great songwriter. So, you know, but when it comes to battle rapping, that's not my forte, I'll be honest. You know what I'm saying? But to freestyle about anything in the room, whatever's going on in the moment is no thing. You know what I'm saying? That's me all day because I live and breathe this.
What you think, blood? You want to hear him spit a little bit?
Go for it, brother. Go for it. MMA style.
Yeah, okay. Yo, it's your boy D1, all right? You could love him, you could hate him, you could like him, you could fuck him. But the rapper slash scrapper, you're stuck with. Watch the front kick, hold a right fist, the left hook might hit. My opponent dropping flat on the surface. Fighters get nervous when I surface, but best believe one day I'm at the top of the MMA list. And I know this because I see things. Your boy D1, the rapper slash scrapper, I'm about to leave it in the ring. Holla.
Oh, I love it. Tight word right there now.
There we
yes,
go.
Sir.
All right, man. Well, you know, I just want to say good luck to you on your fight this weekend. Are you looking to go in there and knock this guy out or what? I mean, because if you're a Muay Thai fighter, obviously, you know, you're in the line of the guys like Anderson Silva. And, you know, what he goes in there and does in the ring. Is that what your style is? You looking in there to just put a knee on this guy and put his lights out?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, that's definitely the goal. You know what I'm saying? One of the goals. Of course, you know, we want the W, however. But, you know, I'm a stand-up artist, so I would like to knock him out. You know, the quicker we both get out there, the less pain we both endure. So, man, I would like to get in there and do my thing and, you know, get a finish. You know what I'm saying? Finishes are always good to raise the stocks, and that's what I'm about.
Sounds
it's
good.
Business, you know. It's nothing personal.
No doubt. Sounds good. All right, man. Is there any way that, you know, because we got a lot of fans that, you know, be online a lot. Is there any way where fans can get a hold of you, you know, Twitter or Facebook, you know, MySpace, where maybe we can hear your music or anything like that?
Most definitely. You can hit me up on myspace.com/D1. That's spelled D-E-E-1. Or you can reach me on Facebook, Danny D1 Davis. And then at the end of January, we're launching D1.com. That's D-E-E-1.com. So you can hit me up any one of those threes.
All right, no doubt. All right, man. Well, good luck to you this weekend with your fight. You know, hopefully you're successful. And, you know, hopefully we'll get to see and hear more from you in the future.
Almost definitely. Thank you guys for having me. I love this. Big shout out to all the fans, you know what I'm saying? All my coaches, all my everybody, you know what I mean? I thank you guys for having us. And big shout out to MMA, you know?
Right,
you have any? Yes, Dan. Before I let you go, do you have any advice for your challenger, Jorge Lopez?
Man,
man, just go in there, you know what I'm saying? Do your thing, I'm going to do mine, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, we both have actually seen each other before this fight and talked about it. You know, we're actually, you know, we're cool, you know what I'm saying? And we both know when it go, when that bell rings, it's all business. You know, afterwards, we'll go have a beer or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So, man, just do your best. I'm going to do mine. Let's shine. Let's put on a good show.
Absolutely, brother. I thank you for taking the time and coming on and leaving the ring with us and chopping it up. And, hey, man, busting your flow in there and stuff. We're feeling it. I wish you the best in your fight coming up in Prem, Nevada on the World Collide.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Take it easy, brother. There you go. We got Danny Davis, who's got his fight coming up. And, you know, it's under the Fernando Vargas banner. And there you are doing, what the hell is this? They are doing a type of tournament. I'm not really sure how it works. Chris, you know how that's working, how they're fighting for the money? You know, is it kind of like formatted the way the UFC does their thing?
No, you know what? I don't know the exact details because Red kind of just hit me up yesterday last minute. But I believe that it's a three-fight tournament. They've had fights. There's also with the boxing fights on that same card. They had fights earlier this year, and then a couple months later they had a fight. And then this weekend will be the finals for both the boxing and the MMA. So I think I think they do get paid a little bit each fight, but the big paycheck is for the winners to win this weekend's events, both in the boxing and the MMA matches.
Right. Yeah, I was checking that out, and I really wasn't able to kind of figure it out. Well, I just didn't take it was a lot of information, and I've been on vacation. My man from Hands Boxing Show, I don't know if you guys have been able to check out his show. I like this guy's show. He's always entertaining, always informative, man, on what he talks, and when he drops a video, doesn't drop a whole lot, which I like, because when he does drop a video, it's anticipating, and when he does drop a video, it's informative. And got my man Eric Johnson on the line, my boy Manny, Left Hook, Peter Yemen, what's up, my brother? Gotta say congratulations to my man Hans Boxers. I just read right now he got married. So he got some shackles on the legs, brother. Got some shackles on the legs.
Yeah, man. Hey, man. Much respect on that. We saw your video, man. Congratulations on the wedding.
Yeah. You know what that means, bro? Your balls are going into a jar. Because you might as well write down and remember them on the label and shit, you know, because that's where it's headed to. And then you're going to have to ask your old lady for your nuts back, you know. Like, hey, baby, I want to go out with the boys. Can I have my nuts back? You're going to be in the same line of Floyd Mayweather, man.
And he did it big, too. You saw he did the wedding big over in the islands or something, man.
I heard that, but I think my man is from the islands. I'm not really sure because, you know, they be rocking some scars and stuff, man, you know. But, bro, it don't matter, because I'm telling you right now, you just savor your moments of when you had your good times and shit. That shit's out of the door, all right? You're going to be singing that song that Joe Frazier was singing a minute ago, you know. The good times roll.
One love, man. Hands Boxing Show. One love, brother.
One love, yeah. Brother. You know, but yeah, I'm just playing with you. Some of it is half truthful, some of it ain't. The balls in the jar is actually a little exaggeration, but trust me, you know what I'm talking about. Get yourself out of here.
Speaking of that, remember a few weeks ago when we had our show December 17th, before this program, I had let you know like a week or so ago. Before that, it was my wedding anniversary, and then come the night of the show, you forgot, and then you thought I had been avoiding the show because of Timothy Bradley's victory and all that. No, that was one of those situations where it was that was my wedding anniversary. So yeah, Hands Boxing, you know what I'm saying? Some of them times you're gonna want to be on a radio show or something like that, and you ain't gonna be able to do it, just like I was.
Yeah. Exactly, dog. And that's what I'm talking about, the balls in the jar, you know, is when you got to ask permission, man. And, you know, I've heard some folks go, well, I've been my girl for 10 years. Yeah, but you haven't been married. That's like, you know,
That's like when you go get, that's like when you go sign for credit. You know what I'm saying? Or luggage. It's with you for life, man. You ain't gonna shake this shit off, trust me. She's getting mad because she's the only girl on there. She's got to stick up for the ladies. Hey, it has bodies. There's nothing wrong with a strong woman. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Because that just means she tightens up the jaw a lot harder than normal. That's it, brother. Oh, man, you know, it's like always we have a good time. I missed all my brothers. Look at Red saying he's drunk already, Alki. And I missed all my brothers from Leaving in the Ring. It's always, always fun and a pleasure. We do have another guest calling in. I think we have two more guests calling in. You know, so we're going to chop it up a little bit. Recap a couple things. I hear Amir Khan is wanting to step in with Madonna. I've heard a couple fights, you know, but I think the big fight that's going to start off the year is what Andre Berto did last year when he stepped in with Luis Collazo. Now he's stepping in with Shane Mosley, where some folks are not giving him the chance or the respect that he, I think, in some ways has earned, you know, in
He's making a big step in his life.
He's making a big step. You know, sometimes you may be right. He may be a little over his head on this one by stepping in with Shane, but you got to applaud him for being brave enough to do it, to step in with a guy that already belongs in the Hall of Fame, Alex.
But at this point, Berto has no choice at this point, though, Ref, man. He really needs it.
Yeah, you may be right.
He needs it more than Shane needs it. He really needs a fight like this, and this is his opportunity.
Absolutely, you know, and I did get an info right now, an email, I'm reading it, that Top Rank is talking about now, since the Mayweather fight is not, it doesn't seem like it's going to be inked. It doesn't look like both men are going to put their blood on the contract, that Joshua Calati is being talked about being the possible opponent for Manny Pacquiao.
What?
And if that...
Wow.
At 137.
If that happens, I will have to give Manny so much respect for that one right there now.
Yeah. Let me read you what I got. Look at this. Top Rank's Facebook reports Manny Calati will happen for a title defense at 147. Plus, Freddie Roach rejects fight with mandatory interim champ Madonna. Therefore, his fighter, Amir Khan, will vacate the title.
Wow.
What's up with that, Dave? I'll tell you this about Amir Khan and Madonna. I thought, really honestly, a little too rushed. Amir has not been fighting fighters that can really honestly show us, okay, he's ready. He's got other things out there, obviously, that he's got to kind of brush up and build his confidence back from having that devastating KO he was up against Prescott. And are we going to crucify Khan for it? I don't think so. I mean, why? You know, he's still young. Give him some time. I've said this time and time before. I think a lot of these fighters, like Victor Ortiz and whatnot, I think they've been rushed a little bit too quick to be superstars. Let them become a superstar. You know, let's just not label them a superstar. What happened to earn your money? You know what I mean? Earn what is given to you. I hate guys that are just given to them right away because then they're exposed to what they are, which are just a face. That's it. You know, I'm not going to take up too much subject on this because I think we have our next guest on the line. Area code 702. What's on your mind, brother?
Oh, this is Deep Marcus.
Deep Marcus, how you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm all right. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Having a good time here on Leaving in the Ring. I appreciate you calling in. And I'm pretty sure you got a fight coming up, right? And
Yeah, this Saturday.
How you feeling about this fight coming up for you, brother?
Oh, good. You know, I'm ready to go.
Chris, I think you interviewed D. Martin, right, for There Will Be Bliss?
That's right. Yes, I did.
I'm going to let you go on with your first questions, and then I'll follow up right behind you, brother.
All right, then, man. Hey, man, how you doing, man? It's good to talk to you again.
All right, you too.
What's up, man? So what's up, man? The fight's only, what, 2 days ago, 2 days away now. You know, I didn't get to ask you too much about the history of this fight in this tournament, really. You know, I did ask you how you got involved with it and whatnot, but as far as the thing, was it a three-fight tournament originally? Was that the format that was laid out to you?
Yeah, that was originally it.
All right. And as far as, like, you know, I've been told by somebody, is if you win the tournament, do you get, like, a bonus check or, like, a bigger a purse for winning the tournament itself as opposed to, you know, the other two fights?
I was told that you receive a bracelet and just $5,000 to the winner. That's it.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad. I mean, you know, for only your third fight, I guess you can't really do too much better than that, right?
Yeah, man. I appreciate it, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, man. So just a little bit of background, you know, because I think a lot of people listening, a lot of the callers, they're not familiar with you yet. And, you know, you've only had two professional fights so far. Can you just give them a little bit of background for those that don't know on how you got into the sport? Because, you know, I talked to you about it last night. You're 27 years old, but, yeah, this is only going to be your third fight. Can you just give the fans a little bit of a background on why you got into the sport so late and whatnot?
No problem. It's Deep Marcus, too, man. But
my bad.
Oh, no problem, man. Just been athletic all my life, man, and thought I can do it. And so, you know, the next best thing to do is to just go and try it out. And so, you know, I've been in the game for almost 2 years now. March will be 2 years, and, you know, 2-0 so far.
Right. So, and also another thing I asked you about, you know, I asked you what was the hardest part of being in boxing, especially, you know, getting into it at this age and stuff, you know. What is that for you? What is the hardest part of being involved in this sport?
Training.
Which part?
Training is just discipline yourself with the running every day, eating right, going to the gym every day, just the training. That's the hardest part about boxing that I've encountered so far.
Right. So what motivates you? What makes you want to do it? I mean, because it is a hard thing to get into, especially later in life. What makes you want to pursue it?
The fact that this could be a big business, man, and it's an opportunity for me. And so if I want to be one of the best, you got to train to be one of the best.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's pretty much with anything in life. You know, if you do want to be the best at something, you got to work hard at it. You know,
I agree.
Let me ask you this. What weight class are you fighting, and where are you based out of?
Las Vegas, Nevada, in 140.
140. Okay, so lightweight.
That's junior welterweight.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Okay, 140. Wow, man. All right, man. I'm checking it out here, and I see that your first love was basketball, which is really, honestly, a lot of trainers, and I'm pretty sure you heard this, is always good because basketball helps out your balance, right?
Yeah, I heard things about it. Yeah, I think I heard Teddy Atlas saying some things about it.
I've heard it a lot, you know, and it's always good to have a basketball background or even a wrestling background because it does help out balance and it keeps your eye coordination up to par, too, as well, you know, and I wouldn't argue with that. And I've seen, though, you were a fan of boxing, but not a huge, huge fan of boxing. You know, you're, like I said right now, your first love was basketball. What kind of impact, though, I mean, when you leave another sport to join another sport, what kind of impact are you hoping to stamp and now you're in boxing?
Man, honestly, just doing the best I can at it, you know. All this hard work I'm putting in every day, man, I'm not doing it for nothing. I mean, no fighter is, but that's all you can do, man, is just work hard and hope for the best.
What fighters out there, you know, even though it's the early start of your career, okay, and we might be getting a little ahead of ourselves, but it's always fun to try to see exactly where your mind frame is at right now. When you're sitting back and you're starting to become a fan of this sport, you know, you're training in the sport and you're getting into this and you're understanding the fight game, what fighters out there in your weight division that you kind of sit there and imagine yourself getting in with, you know, or you would want to, and that's what you're working for. That's why you're going through all these regimens of training in boxing so that you can be up to par to step in with a particular person.
I haven't really seen too many 140 fights. Not too many. Not too many. I know Victor. Victor's in the division and who he fought. But I haven't seen, like, too many 140s televised. Not too many.
You know, Dave.
We have, like, big names like Ricky Haddon and all that. Not too many other, like, you know, people that I have to approach coming up the ladder.
You know, Dave, let me address something else real quick while we got my man on the line. Something that we talked about earlier, and I talked about you with this last night, as far as the Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather situation and the drawn blood. This is something we talked about earlier, and a lot of people were saying that Manny Pacquiao should draw blood and it shouldn't be a problem. And you had a different take on that when I talked to you last night. Why don't you let people know what your thoughts was as far as, you know, getting blood tested the day of the fight or the day before?
Blood test the day before and day after. Yeah. Well, when I was going to get my blood test, because I had to get my physical redone, a nurse told me that a lot of UFC fighters were passing out, you know, while she was taking their blood. So I wouldn't say that that's pretty good to do, man, right before a fight. Might drain the energy or something like that.
So you're not against, you know, you basically could see Manny's point. You're agreeing that you see that maybe not wanting to take the blood test the day of or the day before, it could affect you physically. Because a lot of people disagree with that, and they think Manny's just making that as an excuse.
Yeah, understandable. But I thought it was going to be a urine test. But that's what I thought he was denying, was a urine test. But if it's a blood test, okay, that's more understandable then. Very understandable.
All right, I just want to get that from a fighter's perspective, because I know a lot of people disagree with what Manny Pacquiao is saying in regards to that, so...
Yeah, you know, like I said, there's a lot of speculation going around that, and you might be right, you know, but I don't know, man. That there, to me, is up in the air, you know. Some fighters may agree, some fighters may not. Blood, you got any questions for my man D over here, brother?
Yeah, man. Just give us an idea, man. Actually, you know what? How old are you, man? Because I heard him mention that earlier.
Yeah, I'm 27.
You're 27, so you.
Yeah.
So, do you have a extensive amateur background?
Zero. Jumped in the game, no amateur background, and a little old. But that's all right, though.
It's all good, yes. But you know, man, 27 is young, though, man. You know, I'm a little late starting, but still young, though. So,
yeah.
You know, you know, we're definitely looking forward to seeing some more of you. And, I don't know, who would you compare yourself to, though? You're just trying to get an idea of, you know, what kind of fighter you are.
I told my man yesterday, it's like, if I was to say, it'd have to be a combination in between Joe Frazier, Mike Tyson, and James Toney.
Woo!
Okay.
We just had Joe Frazier on the show tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Smoking was on the show, huh?
Smoker is on the show, you know. Well, let me ask you this, then. Marcus, let me ask you this real quick. Because I've always said, you got to be a little crazy to be a fighter. You got to, you know, have a certain type of spirit to be a boxer. And you're saying no amateur career. You just got in the game, 27 years old, stepping into a completely different type of era of a sport, okay? And really, honestly, hardcore fight fans like myself, we say this is not a sport. This is a style of life, a chosen way of living, you know? Now, being now that you're in the mix of and being around other fighters and seeing exactly the way some fight fans, I'm pretty sure you've seen how some fight fans can get, you know, it's an emotional, it's a very emotional sport. Do you sit back and go like, yo, I think I might be a little crazy getting into this sport?
No, I'm more like excited, man. Like this right up my alley.
Right. Well, having those two fights, okay, and seeing that your capabilities off of these two fights, what are you hoping to show the public
on fight night for yourself?
Oh, man, I got a lot of heart, and I'm still growing. I'm still growing. It's boxing is such a deep sport, man. It's really psychological and deep. And I'm still growing, man. Though I'm old, I'm still got a lot to learn, man. And I'm coming in there to work, man, and I'm going to leave my heart in the ring every time I get in there.
And you know what? That's the best way to sell yourself to the hardcore fight fans, including like me. I'm a hardcore fight fan, and I can tell you right now, if that's one thing that we do love from a fighter, it's the ones that do leave their hearts in the ring.
Well, and there's been quite a few fighters who don't have extensive amateur backgrounds, and they still ended up being world champions. Nate Campbell, if I'm not mistaken, right, Strike Hard?
Right,
Yeah, Nate a good fighter, too.
Yep, Nate Campbell, you know.
He started older, too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Around your age. 26. A little bit younger, but pretty much. You got guys like Bernard Hopkins, whose amateur career was basically in a prison. So, yeah, there's plenty of guys who didn't have an extensive amateur background. And there's plenty of guys there's plenty of guys on the flip side who've had, glorious amateur careers, and then they come in and do nothing. So it doesn't mean a whole lot sometimes.
True.
Well, brother, we wish you the best on your fight coming up, and hopefully we can get you on again, and just keep doing what you're doing, leave your heart in that ring, and keep winning.
Hey, man, I appreciate y'all for having me. God bless y'all.
All right, now, God bless, bro.
Good luck.
All right.
There you go. We have DeMarcus, who's got a fight coming up in Prim Nevada Casino. And like I said, this is a tournament that is going to be mixed martial arts and boxing. He's a fighter, 140. We like to give guys that's not known yet to give them a shot, get them on the show, chop it up with them. There's not a whole lot we can ask them, you know what I mean? So sometimes it can be kind of pulling teeth to try to find out what can we pick about these particular fighters and stuff. But it's always good to know, because we have had, and I don't know if you remember, 2009, we've had fighters that nobody knew about, then later on they were on Showtime or HBO, you know. So, and then later we're like, yo, man, and I'll get an email like, I saw so-and-so fighting and he was on your show. And so it's always good, man, to get these guys that really are keeping the sport of boxing alive for us hardcore fight fans, you know, keeping it out there for us. And we got to show them some love, man, you know.
Sure.
We got like a couple more minutes before we go off the air. And like I said, if you were just tuning in the last couple minutes of the show, we have Smoking Joe Frazier, Grace, the airwaves of leaving in the ring with us, was able to chop it up with us and give us some history lessons about what was going on in his mind frame back in the days when he was fighting, and also give us some singing lessons. Gave us some singing lessons, man. And let me tell you this, though. We had Nonito DeMiro Flash, which arguably you can't argue that he's probably one of the best fighters of our era right now. You know, a guy that upset Vic D'Artagnan, a guy that's really honestly has enough out there to prove that he is one of the best fighters, you know. And guy's a great, sensational fighter. He came on too and gave us some singing lessons, singing some Usher for us, you know, out of the Bay. And then we've had other guys that are upcoming fighters, you know, MMA fighter Danny Davis, DeMarcus, a boxer, 140, come on. But Danny Davis rapped for us, so it's been good. But let me tell you this, though. I don't know if you got a strike card, because I don't know if you know this, but Joe Blunt used to rap, too.
Oh, yeah? I got some demos.
Boy. Blunt got some demos and shit, man. I Blunt got some beats, man. He freestyled too.
Hey, we all tried it out, man, at one point.
But
Ruff, you used to sing, though, brother. You used to sing.
It takes a little time
to sing now.
Hey, you know what, man? I used to sing, and that's the key word. I used to sing.
Hey, you can't leave your girl around guys like Ruff and Smoking Joe Frazier now.
Yeah,
you, you can't do that now.
Smoking Joe got over on all of us. He really had his game on us because dude got 11 kids from all different women. You know, six girls. You know what I'm saying? And he said nothing wrong with that. I was going to say, well, I'm just sick of shit because you got babies all over the place, dog. There's nothing wrong with that.
Hey, I'm laughing. Peter Johnson put in the chat room that you had that Ricky Martin style, bro.
Oh, man, you know what, Dad? I'll tell you that, bro. You like that. Let me go a little with that Ricky Martin. I am not like no Ricky, though, you know. Oh, man. One of these days, man, I'll wait on that. I'll throw out the pipes out there, man, so you can hear it and stuff, man. But like I said, the key word is used to sing. Just like my man Hans Bossing was, the key word I used to be single. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, man. And you're right. But, yeah, you know, and well,
man,
you know what, man? What you
kick some
freestyle for,
dog? Oh, man, I ain't got. You know what, man? It's been so long ago, I can't remember them. I was never a freestyle rapper. I was one of them pencil and pad type rappers,
right?
Man. I had to have the pencil and pad, bro. I had to have it. I was no freestyler. But I used to get
that
down, though. I used to be a little lyrical rapper, though, man, you know. But that's something back in the 80s, though, bro. That was back in the 80s. You're trying to bring up something that's 20 years ago, bro.
Yeah, you're right, man. I mean, we all the kids from the era of the 80s. Hans Bossing, he's in the middle. That's how old you know we are, Hans Bossing. You can remember Menudo. You know, the group of Menudo.
Oh, yeah. If you can remember Menudo, he with us, dog. He right there with us.
I know Chris knows where the Menudo is because Chris has got a poster of Menudo over his bed and shit.
Like if you had him on the show or what?
Yeah.
Hey, we're all up here reading the comments. That's why it's getting quiet.
I think Ruff fell off again.
Oh, he fell off the show?
He fell off the show, huh?
He always falls off at the end of the show every single time now. It's like he's got to make a quick exit.
That's funny. I'm going to give out a little message that I know our PR wanted us to do, which is you can follow us on our Twitter.com account at LIITR. I ain't the Twitter man myself, but I know it's pretty popular. So you just do the slash and then the first letter of every word for Leave It in the Ring. That's how you can follow us on Twitter.
Twitter.com/LIITR, Leave It in the Ring. Pretty easy to figure it out.
Yeah, you just
get
the first letter.
my call got dropped, man. Unfortunately, I think Hans Bossing got into my account.
Nah, dog, nah. That's that Metro that you got, dog.
Metro,
dog, PC. All right, man. Hey, like I said, it's always fun. We're happy to be back. I'll leave it in the ring. Brad, what's my shout-out? Brad's the man. He's the one that he's our PR for leaving the ring. Jesse B. Drinking's on vacation. He's out somewhere drinking. You know, Blood's going to be dropping his demo in the next week's segment, you know, and
Right.
We all know Blood's one of the Haiti babies, so you know there's only two styles Blood could have sounded like. He could have sounded like Kid and Play, or he could have sounded like MC Father.
Oh, you tried me there, bro. No, dog. Poor Righteous Teachers and Check D was what I was listening to, bro. There's one, brother.
That's it. Yeah, brother. All right, man. Well, you know what? This is the ending of our segment. I'll catch you guys next week. It's always a pleasure to talk to the hardcore boxing fans, talk to my man Chris, 916 out of Sacramento, talk to my boy Strikeheart, holding it down, my brother from another mother, Blood. Dave Chairman, if something came up, he was an honor, but it's always love with my boy Dave Chairman. Rob Ritter, I don't know what happened to him, man. Something wrong with his phone. He's got that Metro PCS thing, too, you know. And everybody else that, you know, calls in and listens to the show on the phone. Be
yeah.
easy, brothers.
Peace out.
Yeah, I'll just say, too, for everybody out there, I think we can upload the extra audio if we didn't have time for Nate Campbell on our website as well. So check that out.
That's what's
absolutely.
All
you
right.
Got it.
So, all peace right, we'll talk to you next week, everybody.
Next week. Later.